Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink a beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. Huh. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Feel alright. I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you Christmas contraband.
All right, all right, all right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's a Friday morning. Yeah, man, Friday. So that means all our regular Friday features will be happening, and that means You Big Dummy. That's where we read five real news stories about real people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. And we also have Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen to this radio station 24/7 whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle like a 9-year-old. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same thing with Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen to this station 24/7 whenever anybody mentions me or the show. We want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And, of course, Fly Jams Friday, where DJ Luscious Hushus will take your requests and play some funky and some really cool R&B music. So that's all coming up right on the show. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and you can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show, and stay connected with us on Twitter and Facebook at facebook.com/Nick D Show. Coming up after the break here, our good buddy Herb Weisbaum is going to join us, great friend of the show. He's our consumer man, and you can check out consumerman.com. He contributes to NBC News and KOMO in Seattle. And we have a monthly visit with him all the time, and he's here to answer any and all of your questions and concerns that are consumer related. He wants to keep you away from the scams and keep you safe and have your money be safe. And he's got some great stories to tell. And he was given an award recently, and we want to talk about that as well. Always great when Herb is on. And again, the phone lines are open, and the text lines are open. If you have any concerns about scamming or consumer-related issues of any kind and questions, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Herb will be joining us after the break. Also, coming up a little bit later on in the show, after we chat with Herb, we're going to talk with some people from the Brightside Theater. Jeffrey Cass is the artistic director of the Brightside Theater. And there's this really kind of a crazy tradition that we have now. Whenever we have the Brightside Theater folks on to talk about their latest production, we always have them on the morning of opening night. Now, for those people who are not into, you know, have never worked in theater, it's pretty crazy to do an interview on the morning of your opening night, because you just went through Tech Week, and it's just, you know, Tech Week is a crazy, insane time. And I love the fact that they take time away from the incredibly busy Tech Week schedule when you're putting up a show to join us. And joining us along with Jeffrey Cass is going to be actors John Cunningham and Dennis Schnell, who I've worked with before. I directed him in two shows, and he's great, and I'm very excited to have him back on the show. He's a good guy. So they are doing a production, get this, of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical. It opens tonight. It runs through the 23rd, it is Brightside Theater, which is in Naperville. We'll give you all the details on that, too. Really fun musical based on the great Steve Martin and Michael Caine comedy from years ago, directed by the great Frank Oz, Yoda. That's going to be fun to talk to those guys at Brightside Theater. We're also going to talk about how Chicagoans refuse to call places by their real names. We're stubborn in Chicago. We don't like change. Many of us don't like change. Whatever. I can tell you right now, I hate change. But this from Chicago Magazine, they put a piece together where we as Chicagoans refuse to change anything and call things the way we want to call them. So that's coming up. And now we might, if we have time, jump back into that list of forgotten and ridiculous 80s TV shows that we started on the show yesterday morning, which was just hilarious going back and looking at through some of that stuff. So that's what's on the show. And again, all our regular features coming up later. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And for any consumer-related question or concern that you have for Herb, who's going to be joining us in just a couple of minutes. So 312-981-7200. Let me say hello to my producer, Tom Hush. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Nick. How's it going, man?
All right, man. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Plans for the weekend?
Ooh, I'm going to go visit that Baha'i temple. Mm. You ever been there before?
Indeed,
I've been meaning to go for a really long time.
It's beautiful.
So I think me and my girlfriend are going to go up there.
Yeah.
Have a nice stroll.
It's very, very, it's beautiful up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really.
Looking forward to
very
it.
Very cool. Yeah.
Probably see Godzilla again.
Yeah. help the box office a little bit, considering it's not doing great.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah. All right. And in the newsroom, it's Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
Doing very well.
Hey, coming up later on, obviously, Vic's Picks, another one of our great Friday features. Vic has terrible knowledge of music, but he's rectifying that situation mm-hmm. by barreling his way through the Rolling Stones' top 100 albums of all time, mm-hmm. and we do an update every week. What has he been listening to? What has he learned? What did he like? What doesn't he like? And we got a couple of big ones this week that you're going to jump into, Vic.
Yep, that's my Friday therapy session. I need to get it all out. Talk
there you
about
go. And we'll do that at 3:30. Right after the 3:30 news, Vic will share his musical knowledge of the week in Vic's Picks. So that's coming up as well. Vic, what do you got going on for the weekend? Anything?
Racine, Wisconsin for Saturday. Jeannie's niece turns a few years old. Not sure exactly.
Right.
She's about waist high. I get to go see her family again. Brother, mom. It's a lot of fun going up there.
With all the
Sunday back here, rest.
Okay. All the Brewers fans you get to hang out with.
I know. Yeah. Right. Well, we're still leading them, right?
I
got to look
that
up.
I know the Cubs lost yesterday.
Yeah,
I know that. I don't know what Milwaukee did. I think
right.
Milwaukee won.
Yeah.
So we might be tied. I think we might be tied for first.
How's that possible? Yep, we are.
Yeah, we're tied for first. That's what I
figures.
Thought.
Figures. I'm going to Wisconsin, so of course.
Yeah, of course.
Now they'll have bragging rights because they have tied us now.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Big weekend for the Cubbies. Because the Cardinals are in town, so you want to talk
about this last, didn't they?
Yes,
so
they did.
Payback,
exactly.
Payback,
and it's those. I mean, the Brewers have become a major rival, which I think is fun. You know what I mean? Because of how close in proximity that we are as cities, and how everybody kind of likes each other. But I mean, the St. Louis Cardinals. I mean, that's the rival right there. So it's going to be a fun weekend. Cubs are at 120 today. Yeah, so in roughly 12 hours, you'll get to see the Cubs beat the Cardinals. And I'm making that prediction now.
That'll help.
The score will be 37-1. Mark that down.
The Bears, 200.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So, all right. Well, that's what's coming up on the show, everybody. Again, you can contact us at 312-981-7200, talk or text. And again, that's also the number and the text number to get your questions, consumer-related concerns and issues, 312-981-7200, because Herb Weisbaum is going to be with us right after the break. So there you go. That's our Friday morning show. Have fun this morning, everybody. Please stay tuned. 312-981-7200. Follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show. And Facebook is facebook.com/Nick D Show. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. It is Friday. That means all the regular Friday features are coming up. You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests ready to go. And also some members of the Brightside Theater are going to be joining us to talk about their new production of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical, which opens tonight in Naperville. We'll give you all the details on that as well. But right now, we want to welcome our good friend to the show. He is Consumer Man, and he's a contributor at NBC News and KOMO. You can check out consumerman.com. He helps us out with any and all consumer-related questions and concerns. And his name is Herb Weisbaum, and we always love having him on for his monthly visit. Herb, welcome to the show.
Hi, Nick. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too. How you been?
Well, it's technically still Thursday here in Seattle.
Yes.
Doing fine. Just got back from the Seattle Symphony tonight. It was a great performance, and had a rush home so I could make sure I was here with you.
There you go. All right. Well, you're here. Tell everybody about yourself and all that good stuff so we can catch up as we always do.
Sure. I write columns for the NBCNews.com in the Better section, and I have a website, ConsumerMan.com, which lists all those stories and makes it really easy to find it when you're looking for something. We just completely redid the site. It launched yesterday, so it's now phone-friendly. So if you go on your mobile device to ConsumerMan.com, it looks beautiful and wonderful and has all the stories there. And if you want to, you can sign up for my weekly newsletter. Every time I join you, I get about 30, 40 people more join, Nick.
That's
and
great.
You get an email from me every week, and it's like, here are the stories I did, and here's what you need to know, and I just send it to you, and it works out real well.
There you go. And you join us once a month to
absolutely
talk,
the highlight of my month.
No, I appreciate that. We love it too. And to talk, we talk about consumer news, and we answer any questions or concerns that our listeners have, and they can text them or call us at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. So Herb, you wanted to lead with blocking robocalls, correct?
Yeah, because it's actually in the news today. So let's start with a problem. I just want to recap the problem and then talk about what the FCC did and then what you folks listening can do. I think we can all agree, if there's one thing in America we all agree on right now, is that robocalls are driving us nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And just let me give you some numbers that sort of put it into perspective. Because despite the assurances from the FCC and the telecom companies and the hearings in Congress, our phones keep ringing and ringing and ringing. There's a company called Umail. It's out on the West Coast, and it makes a robocall blocking app, and they track how many robocalls are coming in. They figure that Americans were bombarded with about 48 billion robocalls last year.
Oh my God.
That is up 57% from 2017.
Jeez.
And they estimate that about 37% were classified as scams. Now, so far this year, between January and April, we've had more than 20 billion robocalls, so we're on our way to another record year, and now about half of those are believed to be scam-related. So in the words of Alex Quillacy, who is Umail CEO, he told me, where email was 15 years ago, where half of all the messages that came in were spam and your email box was useless. Let me just give you one more number, and then we'll get into the FCC. So I got a timeline here. So in 2016, this is according to Umail, there were 29 billion robocalls. 2017, 30.5 billion. Then it exploded last year, 47.8, 49 billion robocalls. And this year, in the first 4 months of the year, 20.2 billion robocalls. I think we all agree it is completely out of hand.
Now, Herb, is there a reason for this incredible increase?
I think they find that it's working. Believe it or not, despite the fact that how annoying we are, some people do respond to robocalls. It's incredibly cheap. It's incredibly easy to do. They can be overseas. And as we'll get to in a minute, they can actually do what's called spoofing the caller ID number to make people think they're somebody they're not, which we'll get into in a minute. But that's why it's happening. It's easy to do. It's cheap to do. And people are falling for it. They continue to fall for these. We're the IRS. We're going to arrest you. We're Social Security. Your account was just blocked. We're going to lower your credit card interest rate, whatever it is that these robocalls are doing, people keep falling for it. And smart people, because they get you when you're not thinking, they get you when you're off guard, and it just makes you're afraid, and you do silly things when you're afraid.
Yeah.
So what the FCC has been dealing with this for a number of years, and they keep talking about how they're doing things. So what they did today is they voted to let telephone companies, the telecoms, automatically block illegal and unwanted robocalls from reaching you. Right now, the way it is that you have to opt into a call blocking service. They're saying that if you can show that this is an illegal robocall because a number has been spoofed, in other words, it's a fake number, or it's coming from a number that should not be making outgoing calls, which many of these robocallers do, you have the right to automatically block these robocalls. For years, the telecoms have resisted doing anything because they said that the Communications Act says we have to make every call be delivered. It's up to you, the consumer, to decide what to do. So then the FCC a couple of years said, no, you have the right to do that if the customers ask. Basically, nothing happened. Congress had hearings. Basically, nothing happened. So now the FCC is saying you can do it without the customer asking permission. And as Consumer Reports in its response today said, this is a great news. Now all we need is for the telephone companies to do something, and we got to stop talking about this and giving them power to do something. They've actually got to get off their butts and do something.
Yeah.
And it's mostly the landline companies that are having many more problems than the cell phone. We're getting many more robocalls on our cell phones, but the cell phone companies are actually trying to do some things. Landlines are doing very, very little, but they all need to do more. And as members of Congress have said and Consumer Reports said, and I agree with this, they got to do it for free. A lot of these companies are charging you for the premium service to block robocalls.
Wow.
You don't have to pay money for a spam blocker that comes from your internet service provider.
Right.
That's part of the deal.
Right.
Don't try to make money off of this. You know, just do it because it's the right thing to do for your customers.
Yeah, no, so, I agree with that. That's kind of that's pretty outrageous, actually.
Yeah.
That they would charge for it. You know,
so
the one.
Right.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Herb.
No, go ahead.
The one thing that I whenever we talk about the robocalls, me personally, I do not answer any phone calls that I don't know. Like if it's not a name of the person who's in my directory, I don't answer
right.
it. I do not answer it.
Which is actually the advice that scam fighters give is if you don't recognize the number, don't answer it and let it go to voicemail. The problem is you've got to be good at answering your voicemail because some robocalls, you know, those other 50% are things you want. It's the airline telling you your flight's late.
Uh-huh.
It's the pharmacy telling you your prescription's ready for a refill. It's the doctor saying don't forget the appointment tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of robocalls are good. It's your school calling and saying school is an early day tomorrow. Don't forget you got to get your kid early. So if you don't answer it, that's fine, but you've got to be pretty good about checking your voicemail. Mail and making sure that you get, and then if it's a robocall for one of these scam things, don't return the call because, as we've talked about before, if you do interact with a robocaller in any way, shape, or form, their computers know they have a live human being, somebody who's willing to respond, and you'll get even more robocalls.
Right.
So don't deal with them at all.
Right.
So the point I was trying to make in the story, do we have time?
Yes, please, yes.
Okay. Yeah, very, very, very interesting. This was a report done by AARP, the Fraud Fighter Network, and they were looking at how robocallers are getting through to people by doing something that's called spoofing. Now, they've done this for a while. They can use technology. It's really simple. You can download an app for free or maybe $8, and you can just go in there and 30 seconds, what phone number are you calling from? What phone number do you want it to show up on? And when I call you, Nick, on your phone, it doesn't say Herb Weisbaum in Bellevue, Washington. It says Internal Revenue Service with the 1-800 whatever it is, 1040 or something like that. So that's what they've been using to fool people. Well, now what they're doing is it's called neighborhood spoofing. Because they got to get you to pick up the phone if they're going to scam you, right? The survey from AARP showed that people are much more likely to pick up the phone if they think it's coming from someone, a friend, a loved one, someone in their area code. So what they do is they either do the area code, they spoof the area code from where your phone is. So in my case, they'd be 425 or 206 Seattle or the east side of Seattle, and then maybe the first couple of digits or the first three digits, your prefix of your phone.
Yeah.
People are much, much more likely to pick up that because they think it's maybe the doctor calling or the pharmacy or the friend or something. So that's what they're doing, and it has had a dramatic impact. You were asking why this works. It has a dramatic impact on people answering the telephone. So they're always coming up with some more devious, clever thing to do to get us to get around our defenses, and that's what they're doing now. So it's again, the advice is just let it go into voicemail, and then just check your voicemail. The other thing they found out, and this is really fascinating, and this is why the robocall pitches are starting to change. They're moving from the reward to the fear. They're moving from congratulations, Mr. DiGilio, you've just won an all-paid expense vacation,
right,
or we're going to lower your credit card rate, to Mr. DiGilio, this is Social Security calling. Your account has just been blocked. Mr. DiGilio, this is the jury duty office at your county courthouse there in Cook County, and you were supposed to show up today. There's a big fine. If you don't pay this tonight, the cops are going to come and arrest you.
Right.
That gets people to respond. So many more of these robocalls and these bogus calls are now shifting to the fear factor, which really does get people to act, as opposed to the prize. There's still plenty of them around, the prize or the lowering the credit card rate or the vacation, but they're moving to the fear because that means that they can notify people. And one thing that wasn't in my story, but I got to see it, as part of this presentation, AARP actually got undercover video taken in a jail in Texas to show you how easy it is to commit this crime. There were convicts behind bars in their cell, and there was an FBI plant in there who was recording what they were doing. They were making calls and robocalls out to people all across the country, telling them they were calling from Social Security and their account had just been stopped, or
something
like that.
These are guys in prison.
in prison. These were Crips or Bloods, one or the other, in prison, not supposed to have a cell phone. They were bogus cell phones snuck in by the guards. They were making these calls. The guy's in his cell with a headphone on. He's got two cell phones. In one cell phone, he's like looking up stuff, and in the other cell phone, he's making the call. So he says he knows, like Sergeant Dixon was the name of the person in this woman's sheriff's department. Yes, this is Sergeant Dixon. No, go ahead, look it up. Go to whatever the name of the county is, .gov, and, oh, yeah, that's you, okay. Now, if you want to just check, if you want to go to your other phone, your home phone, call the number back. That number, it's on the phone. It'll ring to the sheriff's department, and sure enough, when you spoof the number, if you call that number back, it does ring at the sheriff's department. So, I mean, this is a pretty clever scam these guys are doing, but it shows you he could be behind bars, and you can still be ripping people off. And she actually went, unfortunately, and drove to and they stayed on the phone with her the entire time while she drove to a store, got iTunes gift cards, and gave him the number off the back of a card, of the cards.
Wow. All right, hey,
so there's one piece of advice I can leave you with before we go to the news at the bottom of the hour. Nobody in government, the IRS, your utility company, Social Security, the jury duty people, nobody ever asks you to go get an iTunes card and give them a number off the back. They don't take money in iTunes cards.
Right.
They send you letters when they need you to pay something. They don't call you. They don't email you. They send you a good old U.S. snail mail letter and tell you there's a problem. Please call us.
Right. Okay, Herb, hang on.
You got it.
All right, we're going to talk more about this when we come back. Herb Weisbaum is with us. Consumerman.com is his website, consumerman.com. And he'll answer any and all of your questions or concerns, wants to keep you away from scams and stuff like that. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. More with Herb after the news, which is up after this. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. We'd love to hear from you. Call or text at 312-981-7200. We're going to get back to our conversation with Herb Weisbaum. He's our consumer man. Check out consumerman.com. If you have any consumer-related questions or concerns, we'd love to help you out here. Herb is here for that. 312-981-7200. Coming up after the 2 o'clock news, we'll be joined by John Cunningham, Dennis Schnell, and Jeffrey Cass, who are members of the crew, Brightside Theater's production of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical, which opens tonight. And we've got all of our regular Friday features coming up as well. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday, all coming up. All right, let's get back to our conversation with Herb Weisbaum. Herb, welcome back, sir.
Hey, Nick. Yep.
Hey. So back to the robocalls. We're up to date now. What are the best ways to block them?
Well, there are a number of things you can do, and there are a bunch of various things that are available. There isn't as much available for landlines, unfortunately, as I said, as there are for cell phones. If you have VoIP technology, so if you're talking on an internet telephone, which I'm talking to you on right now, there's a service called Nomo Robo, N-O-M-O. R-O-B-O. And it's been around for a number of years. I signed up for it as soon as it came out because I did a story with a guy who came up with this. He was part of the Federal Trade Commission's End Robocalls Challenge, and he came up with this service. It's amazing. The phone rings once if it's a robocall, and then to let you know that it blocked the call, and then it just goes away. I hear my phone ring once all the time, it goes away, and I know what's happening, and I've never missed an important call that I wanted. It could certainly happen, but for anybody who's afraid I'm going to miss important calls, I've never had that in the years I've had to serve, and it's really great. If you're trying to do something, the cell phone companies have a number of free products, and they're all listed, so you don't have to worry about it, with links in my article that's on consumerman.com.
Okay.
But AT&T has Call Protect, T-Mobile has Scam ID and Scam Block, Sprint has My Sprint, and Verizon has Caller Name ID. So these are services that will either flag potentially scammy calls for you or block the call or send it to voicemail or what you tell it you want to do. They also sell more sophisticated services. As we spoke earlier, it's my belief and the consumer advocate's belief that all this stuff should be provided for free. But there are some free stuff from your, and there are also some of them working on the back end to block the calls as well. So I got to give them some shout out for that.
Okay.
There are other apps that you can also get, third-party apps. And again, some of the names, just to hear them, and I have links to every single one of these in the story. Some of the most popular ones are Hiya, Umail, RoboKiller, Truecaller, and Nomo Robo also makes one for a cell phone, but it charges $1.99 a month for it. It's free, as I said, for the VoIP telephone service. And those are some of the best things you can do. Now, in general, I know it sounds like you shouldn't be doing it, but we always suggest to people that you join the Do Not Call Registry. That's the big national list that tells telemarketers not to call you. And people always throw up their hands and say, why should I bother doing that? The phone is ringing off the wall. Here's why you should do that. You're never going to stop robocallers by signing up to this list because they ignore them.
Yeah.
Criminals. But this will stop you from getting calls from companies, legitimate companies that do telemarketing. So if you don't want to hear from telemarketers by doing this, I don't get any of those calls anymore that I don't want from telemarketers because I'm on the do not call list for years and years, cell phone and landline phone to let them know not to call. So that's the reason why to do it. You can block the call, and in many cases on your landline phone at home if you want to try to do that. And one of the tips I got, which I thought was really good, was this came from Consumer Reports, create a really robust contact list in your cell phone. Because if you have all the numbers in there that you may not call all the time, if you have your doctor in there, if you have your lawyer in there, if you have your pharmacy in there, things that wouldn't be normally spoofed by these robocallers, they wouldn't make the fake number that would show up. That will let you know, because it'll pop up from your caller ID, well, this is the pharmacy calling, I might want to get this. Oh, this is my lawyer calling or my accountant calling that I might want to get this, as opposed to letting every single call that you don't recognize go to voicemail. I thought that was a very, very good tip. Okay. And the final tip is what you do. If you don't recognize it, let it go to voicemail and just check it out. And in no circumstances, ever respond it. Don't call back the number. If you actually answer it physically on your own, it says push 2 to get on our do not call list. They don't have a do not call list. They're scammers. All you do by pushing a number or interacting with them at all is to tell them, please call this number more often. It's a working number. There's a live human being here.
Got it. And by the way, the piece is available at consumerman.com, and all the links and everything that you need are there as well. All right, Herb.
And it's amazing, a survey that was done. Somebody did, I think it might have been AARP survey, how few people put these things on their phone. I mean, it's there. It's certainly not perfect, but it certainly can reduce the aggravation, and they're free.
Yeah.
So get at least one of these things and put it on your mobile device and cut the aggravation down.
Got it. All right, we got a listener who has a question. Here's LaVon on WGN. Go ahead, LaVon.
Hi, Herb.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my phone call. I appreciate it. I'm calling because I've been seeing commercials and working with my son here about these credit card relief companies or debt consolidation. I have three questions, and maybe you could fill the blanks in for me. How do they work? How do they collect their fees? And if you did work with them, is there some kind of list that you're put on where it's like a Chapter 11 or Chapter 13 that my son would have to wait 5 or 7 years to build up his credit score again?
Okay, well, there's a really simple answer. You don't want to work with them. That is absolutely the wrong way to go. These companies, and I don't know which one, but a lot of them are complete scams, and they take your money and do absolutely nothing. And the way to go is you want to get to a non-profit credit counselor. They will work with your son. The first consultation is either free or usually just like $15 or something like that. They will take a look at the entire situation, the entire financial situation, and they will plot out a program to pay down the credit card debt. They will probably cut up the credit card, so it can't be used anymore until it's paid off. They will work with the creditors and try to reduce the amount that you have to pay, which makes it pay off more quickly, and they'll work on a payment program that helps pay that down, and with no bankruptcy, no mark on the credit, no nothing. I'm literally working on a story, believe it or not, for NBC in the next couple of months on the right way to pay down debt. I just started working on it, and I hooked up with a woman in the story who literally was in $80,000 worth of credit card debt, lost her house, was homeless, hooked up with a nonprofit credit counselor, and in 4 years paid down the debt and bought a house, and she's now in a house.
There you go.
So these guys work. And this is not an isolated example. I've talked to people who've done that here in Seattle, the same thing. So you want to go to nfcc.org. That's the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, nfcc.org. And that will help you find...
It's
what's that?
NS or NF?
NF, as in Frank.
Charles.
Yeah.
National Foundation for Credit Counseling, and they will help you find a nonprofit credit counselor in your area.
All right.
Okay, and just one real quick question. Well, my son kind of got in debt with being in college, buying electronics and buying computer equipment. Can he also call the credit card companies and try to work something out where they might lower his balance, or am I just better off going through this nonprofit?
He could, but why not just work with a nonprofit and have somebody who does it for a living every single day work with you and get you in the right situation? And it'll probably go faster if they work with you.
All right, LaVon.
Thank you so much for all your help. I really appreciate it.
Yep.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Before we get to our next story, Herb, I believe congratulations are in order.
Oh, thank you. You saw my website.
I did. You you received the Fraud Fighters. Maybe if I can learn how to speak, the Fraud Fighters Lifetime Achievement Award from the AARP.
I did 2 weeks ago. It was a wonderful ceremony. I totally surprised that they wanted to give that to me. Greatly appreciated. A great honor. Their fraud fighter network. does an amazing job of trying to help spot frauds and help people work on things and alert people and that kind of thing. And it was a great honor, and I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And if you watched, did you get a chance to watch the video?
I have not.
Oh, because they found a clip from me back in 1985.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And, yeah, all the collection of all the TV stories I did went to the University of Washington. They're all in the archive now. I guess I didn't know that. They told me that. So they found a clip from 1985, and all I can say is the BMI, my body mass index, was a little better back in 1985.
I've got to check that out for sure. Definitely.
So it was
fun. Congratulations.
So thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You deserve it, Herb, for all the great stuff you do.
By the way, I want to just point out one thing, and this wasn't planned, but because she was talking about debt and everything, I just wrote a story for the radio station for tomorrow, as a matter of fact, and it's about you a lot of military people in your area, and the survey was just done by the NFCC, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, that showed that since 2014, military families are using payday lenders twice as much as they have in the past, which is not a way you want to go because there's so high cost and there's so high interest rate. And it just troubles me when military families get taken advantage of like that.
Yeah.
The gist of the article is that every base has help available for you. They have counselors that can work with you, and they also have relief agencies that can give you no interest rate or low interest rate short-term loans. So if you're a military member, a military family listening, please don't make the payday loan your first line of defense. Make something that's already on your base that is there to work for you and not make a lot of money off of you your first line of defense. And if you happen to sign up for my newsletter at consumerman.com, that will be one of the stories that I send out over this weekend, which lists all that information. So
great. And again, everybody should subscribe. It's free, Herb, and you don't share email address or any other information.
The only other person who knows that email address is my dog, Sam, who helps me put the newsletter together every week.
Sam ain't telling. Exactly right.
Good boy, Sam.
Exactly.
Good boy. Okay.
All right. Recently, there was a survey of America's favorite or least favorite wireless companies and smartphones. What were the results there? Kind of interesting.
Yeah, this was done by the American Customer Satisfaction Index. We talk about them a lot. They do this every month, a different report. And this is based on 19,000 wireless customers, Nick. So they talk to a lot of people they're in contact with. Chosen at random between April of last year and March of this year. We love our smartphones. There's no question about that. But the survey found that a whole bunch of customers are less than satisfied with their mobile service provider. So here's the overall rating for the entire industry, 75 out of 100, which is up a little bit from last year, about a point and a half, but it's still so far behind other industries that do really well, banks and credit unions and property insurance and financial advisors. They're all in the 80 or 81 category versus mobile phone service, which is 75. And there are three different types of services that you can get, and they rated them all. And do we have time, or do you need to go to commercial break?
Well, you know what? Let's take a break.
Okay, because I don't want to get in the middle of it, so I can go through all of
it. I got it. Yeah. I'm glad that you're in radio.
See, I'm a radio guy.
Yeah, you're a radio guy.
I'm watching the clock here.
All right, Herb, hang on.
All right,
Herb Weissbaum is going to join us after the commercial to tell us all about America's favorite, least favorite wireless companies and smartphones and the results from that. And you can get all of these articles, by the way. Subscribe to his newsletter, which you should do. It's free, and it's unbelievably helpful at consumerman.com. More with Herb after this.
Go on, take the money and run.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. Coming up, we're going to be talking with a couple of cast members and the director of the latest production at Brightside Theater. That's Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical, which opens tonight. Also coming up, The Stories That Matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Right now, though, we are continuing our conversation with our good friend Herb Weisbaum. Talks about consumer issues and wants to help you out. And he offers a free newsletter, which is a great way to do that. Go to consumerman.com and subscribe now. Or you can call 312-981-7200. Before the break, we were talking about the favorite and least favorite wireless companies and smartphones, and we want to get Herb back to talk about that. Herb, welcome back.
Thank you. Before I go forward, I just wanted to go backwards 1 second. We were talking about the AARP folks, and I want to give folks the right name. It's called the Fraud Watch Network, which is easier to say than two Fs back to back.
Right.
The Fraud Watch Network, and if you just Google it, it'll take you to it. It is loaded with all kinds of tips and advice, and you can even contact them. They'll talk to you on the telephone. They're one of the few organizations that have a phone. You can call them and talk to them.
Right.
So if you're not sure about things. So Fraud Watch Network, AARP, you Google that, and you'll wind up in the right place.
All right. Great.
Good.
All right, so let's get back to it.
There are three different kinds of mobile service most people can get. They're the big network operators, the guys we all know, which most people have. Then there's the ones that they resell that are prepaid, the big guys sell. And then there are little companies that buy the time and that resell it. So let's start with the big guys, because that's what most of us have. They did really poorly. They were 73 out of 100. The best was T-Mobile with a score of 76, and the customers there seem to believe that T-Mobile provides better value than the other large wireless carriers, also rated best in class for ease of billing. That's followed up by Verizon and U.S. Cellular close behind. Verizon did have the highest network quality. So they scored best for quality, which is one of the important things when you have a wireless service,
yeah.
But just below T-Mobile on value, which is why T-Mobile came out number one.
Oh, I see. I have Verizon, and I'm pretty satisfied with the service.
Yeah, and the reason I started with them is because they had way back when such a good network, and they really do have a good signal quality.
Yeah.
U.S. Cellular is not fully nationwide, and I think that's what held them back, but they're in second place with Verizon, so that's pretty good. AT&T was third. It basically scored 73, which was average all the way across the board in every single metric. And then there's Sprint, and that came in dead last at 65 out of 100.
Wow.
Their mobile app rated well below the competitors, rated lowest for both quality and reliability, and this is not the first survey where Sprint has come in at the bottom, so that they've got some problems there.
Wow.
And by the way, network quality, the first time ever they took all the factors of network quality, so that would be like clarity and strength and drop calls and that kind of thing, and they gave a rating for the carriers, and as you said, you're right, Verizon was number one at 80, and then AT&T closely followed by T-Mobile, U.S. Cellular, and then Sprint was a dead last again. So 80 for Verizon, 72 for Sprint. So again, it's got some serious problems there.
The reason why Verizon is below that is because Verizon is a little bit, you're paying a little more, correct?
I think in most cases, most plans you'll find a little more. And also, that's what the value equation is for T-Mobile. They're really pushing price to get people to join up with their network. Yeah.
Right. Well, there you go. And what about smartphones?
Oh, can I just finish the one
other
service
here? Yeah, please.
Okay,
yeah.
So you know, some people listening, your listeners, probably would like to pay up front for cell phone service. And you don't even have to be in a financial bind. Some people just don't want their bills to get out of hand.
That's what my folks do.
Yeah, pay for the service as you go.
Yep.
So prepaid mobile actually scored higher than the big guys, even though the big guys are the ones that provide this. That's their service with a different name, and I think it's because of that whole factor of you're much more in control, and people like the billing better. So Cricket Wireless, which is part of AT&T's network, that led the category with 79. So that did really well. Metro by T-Mobile and Virgin Mobile, which is a subsidiary of Sprint, came in second, and Sprint's Boost Mobile came in third at 74. And then the last option are these smaller companies. So they buy airtime from the big guys. They resell it under their own brand name. And the fascinating thing to me here is they scored off the charts compared to the big guys. They had an average score of 81. The big guys had an average score of 73.
Wow.
It's the same service.
Wow.
So, and you probably heard advertised consumer cellular. They're big on TV.
Yeah.
Thing. They're big with seniors. You get an AARP discount if you sign up for them. They got a score of 85. I mean,
wow.
They were a clear winner in every single category, the number one rated cellular phone service. Straight Talk Wireless was close behind at 80, and then TracFone Wireless was at 77. So that was how those all rated. So if you haven't tried that pay-as-you-go service or one of these alternatives, you might just want to think about it because they did really, really well.
Yeah, my folks are really happy with their service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's so many options now, and in most cases you're not locked in with a contract unless you're paying off the phone, that if you're not happy with your service, change. I mean, that's
yeah.
Bottom line, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you wanted to hear about the phones, right?
Yeah, please.
So who do you think came in number one this year? Do you think it was Samsung or Apple?
My guess always is Apple. But,
and that's what most people would guess. But actually, for this year, Samsung gained a point, and it came into a tie for first place with Apple. So both Samsung and Apple tied at 81. And the feeling was that the price points on Apple may have caused a little bit of drop in the people's satisfaction with them, because they really are getting in fairly steep. Motorola came in fairly well at 80, so 1 point below, and LG was 78. And both of them went up 1% in satisfaction. So you got some really good choices there. The number one phone company in America, based on this survey, is Samsung's Galaxy Note 9. It's not an iPhone. That rated 86 out of 100.
Wow.
Users said they called it a powerful Android model. They like the large screen, the broad capabilities. I use the Samsung Note 8. I love the phone because of the huge screen that it has, and I've been used to the Android system, and I just find it great.
Yeah.
If you're looking for an iPhone, then it's iPhone. The iPhone 10 gets an 83, but it really didn't do much better than the Galaxy J7 Prime or the Galaxy S8 or the Moto G. And it's, you know, iPhones do well, but they're not doing quite as well as they used to, but they're still up there. So, and again, it's all what environment you're in, whether you're in the Android environment or the Apple environment.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Battery life, by the way, the one thing that still drives people nuts, and I know the manufacturers have been working, is this: the battery life still makes people disappointed.
Yeah.
We're using these things now to use so much video and so much getting online, unlike the old days where these things were something to talk into or text with, that it's just really sucking the battery life out of these things, and that's just upsetting people. Be advised, there are things you can do with the settings to give yourself a longer battery life, like if it's not rechecking your email every 12 seconds or whatever. There are things you can do. There are settings that will give you more battery life if you really need it. But that's one of the areas that I think the manufacturers are going to have to work on because they haven't really innovated a whole lot, tweaks in here and there. Most people, by the way, felt that there weren't any major innovations. That cell phones are sort of like, okay, we got it now, and that's why people aren't trading up as much as they did before.
Yeah, I'm with LG now. I got an LG phone, and it's a G7, and I'm really happy with it. I think it's a really terrific phone, and I had some issues with my Samsung in terms of and I still have my other phone. I didn't trade it in. Mm-hmm. I still have it, and I use it from time to time for certain things. But I had a problem with charging it. It was not charging. It just was not charging, and so I just I went over to see if they could fix it, and then these guys now in the phone stores now are the new used car salesman, Herb.
Yeah,
so they got me to buy another phone. They got me to buy a new phone. But I like this phone that I have now very, very much. I think it's very sleek. I like the screen. I like the, you know, and I'm satisfied with Verizon service. So, you know, that's at least that's from my point of view, that's what I'm liking.
Right. And, you know, every once in a while, it's not a bad idea, though, just to call up the company and say, look at my account. Is there anything we can do to lower the cost? Because sometimes they do things or run promotions or do specials, and they won't automatically change your price. You have to call and ask for it.
Sure.
So that's a good thing to do maybe every couple of years. When I was getting my phone, I switched to Comcast Mobile.
Yeah.
Because it's so much cheaper. I'm getting two phones for $30 a month when
wow.
I was paying $86 a month for Verizon, and they're using Verizon Airtime.
Wow.
So that was
amazing.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And it takes 45 minutes to download everything into your new phone. I said to the guy, well, now that we're close personal friends, how about you look at my account and see if you can lower my Comcast bill? And he said, okay, would you like $30 off a month for the next 2 years?
Wow.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
ask. All they can say is no.
Yeah.
Just ask.
Got it. All right. But I got a couple of headlines here. I want to make sure people check it out. Go to consumerman.com. If you're going to shop online, you have a way to spot counterfeit electronics and cosmetics, clothing, all that stuff to safeguard you as you're shopping online. And then you also have a piece about how to get the best deals on plants and shrubs as we approach summer.
Yep, really important because people are buying and wasting a lot of money. So they're all on the website, consumerman.com.
Consumerman.com. Read all those stories. Subscribe to his newsletter. Herb, it's always a blast, and we'll talk to you next month.
Thanks, Nick. Have a good month, and I'll talk to you in July.
You got it. There you go. Herb Weissbaum, everybody. He's the best. He's our consumer man. Check out consumerman.com. Subscribe to his free newsletter. It's fantastic. And all the articles and the stories that we talked about are up on the website right now with links and all kinds of other information. So always check out consumerman.com. All right, we're going to take a break. The news is coming up right after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday morning. That means all the regular Friday features will be coming up. Fly Jams Friday. Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and so much more. And also, we are going to talk about how Chicagoans are very stubborn, and they refuse to call these places by their real names. And we're just going to talk very exclusive Chicago stuff, because, you know, yeah. Because Chicagoans are hell-bent on doing what they want to do, and nothing can change their minds, and we're going to discuss that. The really interesting article in Chicago Magazine went about us refusing to call things by their real names. I love this city. So that's all coming up. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. You can follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nick D Show. Okay, it's become a tradition that every time the Brightside Theater in Naperville puts up a show, we always love to have members of the cast and the artistic director, Jeffrey Cass, on to talk about their latest production. And it just so happens that they always join us the morning of their opening, which I always think is insane because Tech Week is nuts. And, to join us after you finish Tech Week and you still have your opening in just a matter of hours, I always appreciate that they take the time to do it. And their latest production is Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical, which again opens tonight, runs through the 23rd of June at the Brightside Theater in Naperville. And we got a couple of cast members. We have the artistic director, Jeffrey Cass, who also directed this show. And let me welcome him first, and we'll talk a little bit with Jeff. Jeffrey, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. How's your tech week go?
Good. I'm glad it's over.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm ready for the show to open. I'm ready for an audience and hear some laughter.
Yeah, there you go. Well, listen, tell everybody about Brightside Theater, and then we talk a little bit about you just to get everybody caught up.
Sure. Yeah. So Brightside Theater, we're in our eighth season now. This show will wrap up our eighth season. And we're a professional theater company out in Naperville. And we perform at the theater at Miley Swallow Hall on the North Central College campus, which is a great intimate space. It only seats about 200 people. It's a three-quarter thrust, and so you're really close to the action, and the show kind of happens around you, basically. We put on three shows a year, three productions a year, and then we have a kids program that we have classes, and then they do a show each year as well.
That's great. Eight seasons. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. I know. We're just announced the ninth season, and we're already making plans for season 10.
You already you announced the ninth season already?
We did, yeah. We're going to be doing Alan Menken's A Christmas Carol, the musical.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing Steel Magnolias. We're doing Nine, the musical in concert,
wow,
which is new for us in season 9. And then we're doing Mamma Mia.
Oh, well, so, there you go. Wow, that sounds like a fun...
The season's all about guilty pleasures, so shows that you just love. So.
All right, very cool, very cool. Well, tell everybody about yourself. How did you get into theater and all that cool stuff?
Yeah, I started in the theater kind of late, not in high school. Well, I guess that's not that late. But once I graduated high school, I started pursuing a different degree in college and realized that something was missing and decided to just strike out and give it a try, and if I got into a school, I would give it a try, and that's what happened, and just kind of got bit by the bug and kind of been here ever since.
And where are you from originally, Jeffrey?
Berwyn.
Wait, I think I hit... Hold on a second. Hold on. Here we go.
Berwyn!
There it is.
There you go.
I knew I had that. I knew I had it somewhere. Oh, well, that's great. Okay, well, it's great to have you on again. It's always a lot of fun. Tell everybody about Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and then we'll talk to a couple of the cast members.
Yeah, so based on, you know, the movie in the 80s with Michael Caine and Steve Martin, it's a musicalized adaptation of the movie. David Yazbek wrote the music and lyrics, who just won the Tony last year for The Band's Visit. So this was right after he did Full Monty, he did this show. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's the characters that you know from the movie. There's a couple characters added in to give a little more depth, if you will, some more comic relief. But it's just good, clean comedy. And it's just, you know, two con men work in the French Riviera, and they meet this one girl that they decide they're going to con, and I don't want to say anything else because I don't want to give away the end if you don't know the ending.
Yeah.
But it has different twists and turns and mistaken identities, and it's very much kind of like a farce.
Yeah.
Like a musical farce, because it's, you know, people trying to con each other and pretend they're people that they're not, and whole bunch of accents, French accents, and Southern accents, and English accents, and it's all over the place. So.
Yeah. Well, I love the movie. I've seen it. I've seen it many times. It's so funny and so good, and I love it. Now, by the way, have you seen The Hustle?
I haven't, but I know. Oh. I saw it, and I'm like, I saw the preview for it, and I'm like, or the commercial, and I'm like, I gotta wait until the show opens, and then I'll see it because I don't want to get anything in my head, different. You know what I mean?
It's horrible, Jeffrey. It is absolutely horrible.
Anne Hathaway with an English accent usually doesn't go up well.
Yeah, well, it's just my review of it was that I'm convinced that Anne Hathaway only said yes to this script because of the costumes that she gets to wear. That's the only thing that that's the only.
Maybe she got to keep them too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because she looks great. She looks great in the movie. She's got amazing, beautiful costumes in the movie. So I think she probably said, "Yeah, you know what? Let me take some of those home and I'll do this stupid movie."
Paycheck's a paycheck.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, let's talk now. We are the two actors that we have here this morning are actually the guys who play the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, correct?
That is correct.
That's correct.
Great actors.
One of whom I've had the pleasure of directing twice. Let me get him on here first.
Cool.
Let's see. Dennis Schnell. Dennis, how are you, man?
Hey, I'm good, Nick. How are you?
Good, good, good. I had the pleasure of directing Dennis in two shows, Toast of the Town and Black and Blue. And it was great working with you, Dennis.
Yeah, let's do that again. We got to go for the three.
There you go. So tell everybody about yourself, where are you from and all that.
Well, my name's Dennis Schnell. I'm originally from Arlington Heights, Illinois. I got into theater back in high school. I was kind of a shy kid, and on a whim, I decided to take an acting class. And the teacher of the class was like, "You're auditioning for the show," and I'm like, "No, I'm not going to do that." And and he kind of forced me in it, and ever since then, I've just got the bug.
Yeah. Well, you've done a lot of great stuff, man, and it was and I can attest that you're a terrific actor, and you're great to work with, man.
So, thank you very much. Yeah. You're great to work with as well.
Thanks, man. And let's welcome your partner there, John Cunningham. John, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks, Nick. It's great to be on.
Yeah. Now tell everybody about yourself. Where are you from and how'd you get into acting and all that?
Sure. I'm from Schaumburg. I've lived there almost my entire life. And also pretty much the same way as Dennis there. I did theater in high school and in college. And I didn't actually study theater, but I did a lot of community theater as I got out of college, and then actually ended up working in a bunch of equity houses and becoming a member of Actors Equity for about, I think it was about 9 years or so. I worked for quite a while, but I have a family. I got three kids, and I chose to stay home with them as opposed to actually doing the actor's life, which is a really interesting life. So now I get the opportunity to Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, on the nights and just a few weekends, and my family gets to come see it, and it's a blast.
Yeah, well, that's great. Congratulations on that. And John, can you remember the first part that you got? Like, not outside of college and outside of high school.
Sure. The first, like in a professional theater?
Yeah.
So the first professional role that I got, I played, what's the character's name? I was in Baby at Theater at the Center in Munster.
Okay.
And I played the young male role. I can't think of his name right now. I want to say Bobby, but I know it's not right.
And that was your first role?
That was my first, it was my first big role on a professional house, yeah.
Dennis, what was your first?
That would have been back in 2006.
2006, okay. Dennis, what was your first role outside of college?
My first paid gig was playing Paul Bratter in Barefoot in the Park.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I know. I saw you posted about that.
Yeah,
I love that show.
Yeah, I love the show and I love the movie. I just think, and you played Bratter, and that's seriously Robert Redford in that movie. It's one of my favorite comedic performances of all time. I think.
He's great.
He's unbelievably funny in that movie. It's really terrific. Now, John Cunningham, tell me about the role that you're playing here. Now,
sure. So I play Lawrence Jameson. That's the Michael Caine role from the show. So he's the older of the two. He's been conning people for a while, and he's just sort of in a groove. This other younger con man shows up and brings a little bit of excitement into his life, and they have some fun together.
Yeah. All right. And then Dennis, obviously you're playing the You're playing the Steve Martin role. Now, not too many big shoes to fill there.
No, he's a lesser known actor.
Yeah.
I had to research him. No, it's a total honor to play a Steve Martin originated role. And I'm trying to do my best to fill those shoes.
Yeah. And now, do you get to do Ruprecht?
I do.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
So, ball, let me tell you.
Yeah. So, Jeffrey, what was for you the most fun working with these two guys?
Just discovering the comic moments, you know, and just like once you get the lines and the blocking down, it's just like, you hey, like, oh, this moment, or like, you know, in the Ruprecht scene, like, just like, oh, try this or try that, because we can go pretty far because it's such an over the top scene.
Yeah.
In the show. So yeah, it's just trying to find those comic moments and mine them, you know, to get them in mind, you know, like not mine, M-I-M-E.
Yeah.
To get as much as you can out of them, and get the laughs. And there's a heart to the show as well, which I love. And John gets to probably have more of that than anybody.
Yeah.
With the Michael Caine role.
Right. Okay. Okay, Jeffrey, hang on, okay? And everybody, yeah. Hang on. Dennis, John, hang on, everybody. All right. These guys are with the Brightside Theater. Jeffrey Cass is the director of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical. It opens tonight. And John Cunningham, Dennis Schnell are also on board here. And we'll take a break, and we'll talk more with these guys right after this on 720 WGN. Yeah, we lost Dr. John. By the way, this song is played during Party at the Moon Tower in Dazed and Confused, because I feel it's necessary that any time a song from Dazed and Confused is played on my show, I have to point out what scene it plays in. This is when Mitch is wandering around kind of drunk at the Moon Tower party. So I just thought I'd let you know that. But anyway, we lost Dr. John, a major. It's just so weird that last week we lost Leon Redbone, and then this week we lose Dr. John. That's just really strange. So there you go. Hey, we are now being joined by some members of the Brightside Theater's production of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical, which opens tonight at the Brightside Theater, which is at North Central College in Naperville. And you can go to brightsidetheater.com to get more information. The actors John Cunningham and Dennis Schnell are with us, and along with Jeffrey Cass, who's the director of the show and the artistic director of Brightside Theater. And we welcome you guys back. Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, thanks, Nick.
All right.
Hello.
Hey. Cool. Okay. Let's see. John, first for you, and then I want to go to Dennis. Do you enjoy the singing aspect of the show?
Oh, when I started out acting, I always thought that I was more of a singer than an actor.
Yeah.
And as time has gone on, I've just found out I'm pretty good at both of them, to be honest.
Well, that's good.
but I do. I love the singing, and especially in this show, I get some really funny stuff to sing.
Yeah.
And I get to do a lot of the accents, and so I get to really play with the songs and with the scene. Oh, it's just a blast.
Yeah. How about you, Dennis? You enjoy the singing aspect of it?
I do. I especially love that this show is a comedy, so the songs are very different, and some songs could be sung in one of the voices I'm doing, and some songs could be sung in another voice that I'm doing, and it just adds variety.
That's fun. That's really fun. It's fun. You know, it's weird, Jeffrey, you mentioned David Yazbek, who did the music and lyrics for this, and you mentioned a band's visit. I have to say that it was insanely surreal to see a friend of mine win a Tony last year. David Cromer, a friend from way back in the 90s when we were doing theater together, and to see him get a Tony last year, I was like, I'm sitting on my couch at home, I'm like, I know that guy. He's a friend of mine, and he just won a Tony, and it was just very strange.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And
you know, that show Baby that I did, Nick, was with Jesse Mueller. She played my wife in that show, so I got to see her win a Tony a few years ago, and again, still surreal.
Isn't that crazy, man?
Yeah.
It's just nuts. Yeah. It's really, really nuts. I mean, you know, I've known David for a really long time back, like right out of the Columbia College days, and, you know, as soon as he won the Tony and he was up there, I was like, you know, I used to drink with him at Simon's and we would bitch about our actors after rehearsal. He was rehearsing Angels in America, which is still that's the best production I've ever seen of that play, is the one that David directed. And he was rehearsing Angels in America, and I was rehearsing my High Fidelity adaptation, The Vinyl Shop, mm-hmm. and we would like go to the bar afterwards after rehearsals and just like talk and stuff. And he's a wonderful guy and enormously talented, obviously. And we all knew he was going to win a Tony. It was one of those deals where it's like, this guy is an exceptional director, and it was just thrilling to see that happen. But and then the Tonys are this weekend, in fact. So that's going to be fun to watch. Okay, Jeffrey, tell me about some of the other castmates for these guys.
Yeah, Becca Duff, who plays Christine, she's just rocking the part out as well. I mean, she is the yin to the yang of these two for sure, yeah. and gives them a run for their money. And she's got such great comedic timing as well. And
and it's the role that the late great Glenn Headley played. I love her so much. Taken from us way too soon. So okay, who else?
So then we have an ensemble of four guys, four girls, and then we have Muriel and Andre, and they're kind of the secondary plot line in the show. And Julianne Cornack plays Muriel, and Matt plays Andre, so Matt Gibson.
Yeah.
So they've both been on our stage before, and Julie's one of the founders of Brightside Theater, and she's the executive director for Brightside Theater, so she's on stage every so often, and so it's fun to see her just kind of having a blast of just goofy comedy, because they're very much the secondary kind of comic characters. It's just there's not enough comedy in the show already, but there's just more like goofy comedy, which is fun, and it's such a fine line. I was talking about this the other day with them. It's like, you know, it's so easy to go to camp, you know, and it's like, I just got to walk that fine line.
Yeah.
Keep it comedic and not camp.
Yeah.
Because there's so many opportunities to kind of just put some things in. But I think we've done a really good job at that. And just enjoy it. There's so much laughter in the rehearsal space. And I mean, Dennis and Becca opposite each other, there's this great ballad. It's like an 80s anthem ballad.
Yeah.
Love Is My Legs. But I think tonight was the first night they got through without laughing.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Dennis,
Get the laugh. Get the laughs out of the way now, man. John, I, first of all, in all three of you guys, I want to thank you so much. I mean, it's become a weird tradition that when you guys put a show up at Brightside, you join me the morning before you open, which I think is kind of a great thing, and I always appreciate
it.
John, how did Tech Week go for you?
Oh, it was great, but it was tough. It was hard work. You know, like I said, I got a family. I got kids in there last week of school this week.
Oh,
and we all have day jobs.
Yeah.
You know, they're going back and forth. But it was tough, but it was really good work. And everybody in the cast, it was so extremely supportive. Nobody was complaining. There were lots of changes that had to be made time and time again all week long. And everybody just always had a smile on their face and was happy to make the changes. So it was one of the most successful Tech Weeks, I think, that I have ever been a part of, really.
All right, how about you, Dennis? Besides, of course, our Tech Weeks when I directed you being great.
well, of course, those will always be the best. But this week was rough. I don't want to have a day job when I do Tech Week because it's really too hard. Yeah. But I think we got a lot accomplished, and I'm very proud of everything we've done this week. I'm excited to open. And what John was saying, like, everyone has a very good attitude, and we're all going towards a common goal. And we're excited to open.
Every time I talk to you guys from the Brightside, it just seems like the vibe is always very happy and very supportive, and that's really, really important when you're doing theater.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. I mean, otherwise, why do it? I mean, you're not paying anybody's mortgage here,
what
we get from the show. So if you're not having fun and feeling good about it, you know, what's the point, right?
Hey, let's give a shout-out really quickly here to your musical director and your choreographer.
Yeah, musical director is Sarah Giordano. And our choreographer, Jenny Donahue. Jenny's been with us since season 5, and Sarah shortly after that, I believe.
And how many shows? Have they worked on a lot of shows with you?
Yeah, Jenny's been our choreographer since season 5, so like 2 or 3 per year since then, for the last 3 years. So it's good because you get that working relationship and that, you know, dialogue where it's like, uh-huh, do that. Oh, yeah, I got it. And then it just happens, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good to have collaborators.
That's when it's great with a collaborator, you know.
John, I want to ask you about a role that you played that I think would be a blast, and that is you got to play Seymour in Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes.
Man, I love that musical, and I just showed the movie some months back at my film club, and and I love it. I just love that musical. It's great.
Yeah, I got to do it twice. So I did it once when I was 19 in college down at U of I.
Yeah.
And then I got to do it again at the Earth the Center then when I was, what was I, I think I was 20, well, I might have been even 30, 28, 30, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
So, and so to get to do it as a kid, but then do it again as an adult.
Yeah.
And to have so much more understanding of the material and of the comedy and of the darkness in that show.
Yeah.
Was so much fun. And that was really hard work. But again, that was another show that everyone was upbeat and happy.
Yeah.
And in fact, really cool, connection there. One of our, it might have been opening night, but one of our nights, Dave Koz came as Svengoolie.
Rich Coast.
Yeah, so he like opened the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Did I say Dave Koz?
Yeah, you did.
Dave Koz. I meant Rich Koz. Dave Koz is the musician, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so Svengoolie showed up and he premiered the show and you know, talked to everyone and got his autograph afterwards. It was really cool.
He's a good friend of the show's. He's been on I'm a good friend of Rich's. He's a great guy. And Dennis, really quickly, because we got to wrap up here, what was it like playing Nathan Detroit? My God, man.
Oh, it was great. It was definitely a dream role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Listen.
This was a dream role for you, too. You came into auditions like, I'm getting this role. Oh, yeah.
You are giving me, I will be Nathan Detroit.
Yeah.
So we got to go. But Dennis, on a personal note, you look fantastic, dude. I just want to say,
thanks.
You look great. He's lost a lot of weight. Dennis has lost a lot of weight, and you're sort of showing it off on Facebook, and you look great, man. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Okay,
appreciate it.
All right, listen, Jeffrey, always a pleasure. Break a leg tonight.
Thank you.
And you guys, John, nice to meet you. Dennis, have a great run. Okay, guys.
Thank you so much.
Okay, guys, take care. There you go. There's the director and two of the cast members of Brightside Theater. They do great work out there in Naperville. Brightside Theater, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the musical, opens tonight, runs through the 23rd. Go to brightsidetheater.com for more information. All right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. It's Friday, and that means all the regular Friday features, You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and, of course, Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests ready to go, 312-981-7200. And there you go. So the regular features are coming up. And, of course, we've got Vic's Picks. Vic has recently dove headfirst into music and knowledge by diving into the Rolling Stone magazine's top 100 albums of all time. And we do an update every week, Vic's Picks. What did he listen to this week? What did he like? What did he learn? And all that cool stuff. So that's coming up after the 3:30 news. So please stick around for that. We're going to jump into, I love to talk about the way Chicagoans talk and their refusal to change. And also their refusal to call places by their real names. And we're going to get into that. Chicago Magazine wrote a very entertaining piece about it. We're going to jump into that. And we want to hear from you guys as Chicagoans, your favorite terms and the refusal to actually call things by their real names. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Before that, I just want to mention my Ghostbusters screening is coming up fast and furious here. It is this Tuesday night. And it's going to be a blast. It's we're celebrating the 35th anniversary of Ghostbusters. And we'll have the screening at the AMC Rosemont 18, formerly Movieco. It'll start at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, June 11th. I'll introduce it at 8. The movie will start. We will watch it together, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. It's going to be a fun night celebrating the 35th anniversary of Ghostbusters. And again, $10. Parking is free. It's only $10, and parking is free for your chance to see this comedy classic on the big screen and digitally remastered, incredible sound, incredible picture, all of that stuff. It's going to be really fun to see this movie on the big screen again. A lot of people are young enough where they've never seen it on the big screen, so it's going to be awesome. It's Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, Sigourney Weaver, Rick Moranis. It is a comedy classic, obviously. And we're celebrating the 35th anniversary. And we've been partnering up with the Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant, which is right down the street from the Rosemont 18 Theater in the Crown Plaza Hotel. And they've been very kind to us over the past months, where they're giving us a 15% discount for the film clubbers when they come over there and show like a receipt or their phone or their ticket stub proving that they're going to come and go see Ghostbusters. So before the movie, head over to Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant. The food is great. It's a very cool place. Big bar, a great staff, great management, and they're offering a 15% discount to everybody who's going to see Ghostbusters. And obviously, you know, we're going to have a little celebration and some special drink specials and stuff because Bill Murray obviously is in Ghostbusters. And so it's a great tie-in to go to the Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and everybody over at the Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant's very, very excited about the screening of Ghostbusters. So you should all come out, man. Let's pack the place. It's going. The tickets are going really well. So I would suggest you go right now to reserve your seats. Go to amctheaters.com. Go to the Ghostbusters page and check out the seating chart, and then pick the seats that you want. They'll be waiting for you. And again, a lot of the seats have been taken. We have you know, there's a good portion left, but we want to make sure you get in there and you get to see the movie. So go over to amctheaters.com right now. Go to the seating chart, pick the seats that you want, and they will be waiting for you right now. And again, stop at Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant beforehand. Say, hey, I'm going to see Ghostbusters, and you get 15% off all of your food. And they're also going to have special drink specials and Ghostbuster-related items specifically for our screening. And then after you eat at Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant, head over to the AMC Rosemont 18 and get in your seats, and I'll introduce Ghostbusters. It'll start at 8, and we'll have some fun talking about it afterwards. It's going to be a fun night. Again, it's this Tuesday, coming up right now, this Tuesday, June 11th, AMC Rosemont 18. Movie starts at 8 o'clock. Go to Murray Brothers Caddyshack Restaurant beforehand. And if you want to call Murray Brothers Caddyshack, maybe make a reservation or ask any questions about certain things, it's 847-443-3673. That's 847-443-3673. Tell them you're going to be with the film club and the Ghostbusters screening, and it's going to be great. It's going to be a great night. Great food at Murray Brothers Caddyshack. Great movie with Ghostbusters on the big screen. Reserve those seats now, amctheaters.com. All right. So, you know, Chicagoans are a very unique group of people. I happen to have been born and raised in the city. I've never lived in a suburb. I've always lived within the city. And as many people know, I grew up right on Addison, just blocks away from Wrigley Field. And so I'm a city boy. There's no question about it. And I fall into those habits of using certain phrases and using certain words that are pretty much exclusive to Chicago. And we also have certain attitudes about things. One of the pieces that is in Chicago Magazine, you can check out chicagomag.com, is that Chicagoans refuse to call these places by their real names. And here's the piece that it says, there's no better way to feel like a local than using a term that doesn't appear on maps or in tourist brochures. But that's the way that Chicagoans are. Whether it's stubbornness, tradition, or a distaste for the practice of selling naming rights to the city's most recognizable structures, Chicagoans pretty much refuse to use the real names of a lot of places in this town. Some are well-known, others are little-known, to the informal name long ago replaced by the formal name in our neighborhoods. So, I mean, obviously the first one has got to be Willis Tower. I still refer to it as Sears Tower. Do you refer to it as Sears Tower?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And everybody still knows what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, Willis Tower. When I heard that they changed it, I was like, I can't change that. I can't do that.
Well, how long was it called the Sears Tower?
Well, it's from 1973 when it was built. And then it was, what was it, 2 years ago? Two, 3 years ago they changed it?
A little bit more than that.
Was it longer than that?
Yeah.
Was it really? Yeah. Well, I don't know, because I still call it Sears Tower, so I don't know. I don't even know when they changed it.
I was still in college when they changed it.
It was 10 years ago, because it says right here in the article. Yeah. Here's what it says. When the Sears Tower was completed in 1973, and I remember that was a really big deal. That was a really, really big deal. It was the world's tallest building, and its namesake company was America's biggest retailer. Neither of those facts are true anymore. Sears can't keep a store open at Lawrence and Walcott. How can they keep a 110-story building open? Not to mention the one at Six Corners, the Sears at Six Corners. Somebody posted video of them taking the big Sears sign down mean, that's blocks away from where I live and in an area where I grew up. And I went to that Sears many, many times. It was just heartbreaking. Also heartbreaking, somebody posted online, and I put it up on my Facebook page, them taking down the iconic sign outside of the double door.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I think they're going to keep it.
Yeah. There's
video.
You
used to live right across from that. I know. Right across the street.
Yeah, you were in the Flatiron building.
Oh, that's sad. That was a beautiful sign, too.
Yeah, I guess now they're reopening, right?
Yeah, so they're opening literally blocks away from where I live.
Okay.
They're reopening on Wilson, and that got announced a while ago because Smashing Pumpkins did like a pop-up store there, and they revealed that that's where they were moving. So my guess is that they're going to like clean up the sign or something like that.
Well,
or,
they have to.
Yeah, they're going to do a little repair, and then they're going to put it there.
What about the Galaga game in the basement?
You got to bring that pool table and that Galaga thing in the basement. No, I saw many, many great shows at Double Door and hung out there, you know, a lot. And I know, Vic, you did, too, because you live right across the street from the place.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an iconic-looking place, and that sign is iconic. And just, you know, the video, I posted it on my personal Facebook page, Vic, if you want to see the video. But it was the other night, somebody posted it. There they are out there just taking the sign down and lowering it up from a crane onto a, you know, lowering it down onto a truck. And it was just like an era, end of an era.
Makes me sad,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... but yeah, Sears sold the building in 1994, and the Willis Group, a London-based insurance brokerage, bought the naming rights in 2009. The following year, Chicago Magazine's Jeffrey Johnson ranked the tower 10th in his list of top 40 buildings in Chicago. The city's giant is an engineering marvel, but I will never, ever refer to it as the Willis. Yeah. So there it is. It's Sears Tower. It's always going to be Sears Tower to me. Always.
I think to most people,
yeah,
because folks will just persist.
Yeah. If you guys want to jump in here with certain phrases and words that only Chicagoans use, and we're focusing on this really fun article that was written in Chicago Magazine about how we refuse to call places by their real names because we're Chicagoans and we're going to call it what we want to call it and what it should be called. So, Cloudgate. Does anybody call it Cloudgate?
No. Oh, my God.
Nobody calls it Cloudgate. No. When sculptor Anish Kapoor was constructing his mirrored sculpture in Millennium Park, he was not amused by its comparisons to a legume. The nickname The Bean, he said at the time, was completely stupid. Kapoor formally named his work Cloudgate, but eventually came to accept the popular nomenclature. It's great for it to have a colloquial name, its own lingo, Kapoor told the Sun-Times in 2017. I call it The Bean, too. Oh, sure you do.
Yeah, I was going to say, he could probably get a job over at the Morton's factory with all that salt.
Hello. Yeah, I'll tell you something. I've never, ever referred to it as a Cloudgate, ever.
I didn't know that that was its name until probably about 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
I was just like, yeah, oh yeah, The Bean.
Uh-huh.
Because I've never heard anybody really refer to it by its actual name.
Yeah.
And I get the guy, you know, he's like,
creation. It's his creation. It's his, you know, it's his work of art. So I guess, you know, the guy obviously has, you know, some say in the matter.
Sure.
Some say in the matter.
But you gotta let go at some point.
Oh, well, I mean, I think he realized that because we're Chicagoans and we're not gonna call it Cloudgate, dude. I don't care what you named it. We're calling it The Bean, and that's what it is. So you better get used to it. And I guess he had to acquiesce. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, just drop the fight, man. This is Chicago, and we're going to call it The Bean. It's not Cloudgate, man. And no matter how much you persist, how much you protest, it's The Bean, and it's always going to be The Bean. So if you guys want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And we want to talk about Chicago language, Chicago phrases that are exclusive to us. And, of course, what we're talking about specifically is things that we refuse to call by their real name. Cloudgate. Oh, man. No. All right, let's take a break here, and we'll come back, and I want to hear from you guys. Talk or text 312-981-7200, and we'll do more of that right after we hear this. All right. right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, and we're here until 5 a.m. All the regular Friday features starting at 3:30 with, after the 3:30 news, with Vic's Picks, where we talk about and listen to some of the music that Vic has been listening to all week. And we've got the other regular features. We got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and then we'll cap off the morning with some Fly Jams and Fly Jams Friday. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right. Now, we are talking about, we would love to have you guys jump in here because we have, Chicagoans have a very exclusive way of talking. We use certain words and certain terms. And on top of that, we are also refuse to call places by their real names. Like, for instance, we talked about the Willis Tower, how that's always going to be the Sears Tower, and how Cloudgate is always going to be the Bean. We're not going to call it Cloudgate. We're not going to call that Willis Tower because we're Chicagoans. We're going to say what we want. So I would love to hear from you about your favorite Chicago-centric phrases and words and some other places that we refuse to call by their real names. And the phone number is 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right, this one, the next one is all the expressways. The U.S. Department of Transportation has assigned numbers to all the roadways on the federal interstate highway system, but here in Chicago we don't use numbers and we use names. And this is the complete list. The I-290 is the Eisenhower, or the Ike. The I-55 is the Stevenson. The I-94 is the Edens Expressway. The I-90 is the Kennedy. The I-90-94 is the Dan Ryan. I-88 is the Reagan. The I-294 is the Tri-State Tollway. The I-94 South is the Bishop Ford Freeway. But I still know the people who call it Calumet Expressway. I still know people who refer to it as that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's still a deep cut.
They still refer to it as the Calumet Expressway. But, yeah, I never say take I-90 to this. Blah, blah, blah. It's always the Kennedy. Let's jump on the Kennedy and take that.
Now, this is something that I've noticed. Among my family that immigrated here from Ireland, they have this thing where they'll call it by the name. They pick that up over time, like the Kennedy, the Stevenson, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But they're more likely to call it by the number, but put a the in front of it. It's not just 90. It's the 90. It's the I-8. It's like the 80. The this.
Really?
Yeah. And people call them out on it all the time. They're like, what are you talking about? The 90. It's just 90 or...
I-90.
I-90.
Yeah.
And I've never heard anybody else do it.
Maybe they did that because when you're calling the expressway by its name, there's a the in front of it.
Right.
So maybe they just took that and threw it in front of the number. That's got to be what it is. Because you never say, let's take Kennedy. Mm-hmm. You say the Kennedy.
And they also do the Jewel, the IHOP.
Sure. Oh, they do that
Yeah,
for
they
everything.
Put the in front. Oh, yeah. Get on the Google. But not even like the older members, like even the kids.
That's kind of interesting.
It's very strange.
Put
the in front of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. But like I said, I still know people who call it Calumet Expressway.
How long has it been since they called
it? Oh, God.
That?
I don't even.
Seriously.
Seriously, I don't even remember. The Bishop Ford Freeway is what they call it now. So. Let's see. Vito and Nick's Pizza. There's a legendary thin crust pizza place here. This Ashburn pizza joint is officially named Vito and Nick's after the father and son who founded it in 1932. But it's just commonly known as Nick and Vito's. According to Nick's daughter, who inherited the place, it was because Nick was just around more. To avoid confusion, the restaurant listed itself under both names in the telephone book. You see, you see what you have to do? You can't beat the Chicagoans. You got to go, all right, well, they're not going to stop calling it by a wrong name, so we better list it in the telephone book under both.
It reminds me a little bit of... Norm MacDonald as Burt Reynolds, you know, it's like, it's Nick and Vito's.
Yeah.
But no, it's not. No, of course it is. Of course it is.
Yeah. Nick and Vito's is what they refer to it, just because Nick was around more.
Yeah. I was lucky enough to try that for the first time earlier this year. I had never had it.
It's great pizza.
It's amazing.
It's great pizza.
Incredible.
But I still like, my favorite thin crust pizza is John's Pizzeria on Western. still my favorite. Like 2000 Northwestern, John's Pizzeria, best thin crust pizza in the city. Go there, have the best thin crust pizza in the city, enjoy the atmosphere because it's old school at John's Pizzeria on Western, and then just go down the street to Margie's, get some ice cream. Make a whole day of it. So, but yeah, Nick and Vito's, because Nick hung out here more. So it's his place more than it is Vito's. Nick and Vito's.
Well, that's why I call this Studio Nick's studio.
Yeah, well.
He's just hanging out here more.
Somebody, our good friend Bob Ferguson, one of our favorite engineers. There is this thing here called an instant replay machine where if I press a button, I get this. Or.
All right.
And other sound effects. And he put a sticker on it that says Studio D, and then there's a space, and it says IGILIO. So it's basically Studio Digilio, because I'm one of the only people that uses the studio. Almost everybody else on the air during the day uses A, which is on the east side of the building. We're on the west side of the building. This is Studio D, and Bob Ferguson just put the sticker on this thing that says Studio D, and then a dash, and D-I-G-I-L-I-O. But I love this studio. I mean, I think this studio is great. I mean, the view is better in Studio A because it overlooks the lake, and you can see the Ferris wheel down on Navy Pier, and you get the sunrise if you're down there. So like Cochrane gets the sunrise in the morning. So it's a beautiful view, but we have a great view here. It's beautiful. But this studio, one of the reasons I love this studio is because when we worked over at the Tribune building, I was not a massive fan of the Showcase studio down on Michigan Avenue, where everybody could walk by on Michigan Avenue and look and watch everybody broadcasting. Most people really liked it. I found it distracting, especially for my guests. Like if I had guests in studio, cause you know, I was on at night. So people would, you know, there's a good faction of people who have imbibed and would come up and bang on the window and do all kinds of obscene things and stuff. And if I had guests who had never been in the studio before, it would be totally distracting and hard to to have a conversation with them.
Yeah, when you got someone's butt cheeks pressed against the...
Yeah, it's always really funny to see what people have been pressing up against that against those windows and then the people who put their mouths on it about an hour later. So I preferred the studio on the 7th floor. When we moved up to the 7th floor, and I want to say that was in 2011, something like that, 2011, I think it was. Maybe a little bit earlier than that. I can't remember precisely. But when we moved up to the 7th floor and we got rid of A Combo, which was actually not the Showcase studio. I never used the Showcase studio when we were downstairs, when everything was downstairs, offices, everything. The studios were all downstairs. I used A Combo, which was in the middle and, you know, and it was a private sort of studio. So I used that one. And then when we moved, upstairs to the 7th floor, the studio on the 7th floor was the one that I loved and I preferred. And this studio, as soon as we came to the new place, we're about a year in now, right?
Just about, yeah.
Just about a year, because my Facebook memory thing yesterday reminded me of the picture I took of studio of the 7th floor studio when it was demolished, when they took everything out of it.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I was like, oh man. But anyway, when we got here, when we, you know, looked around here and I walked into this studio set up pretty much exactly like the 7th floor studio, at the Tribune building. So immediately I walked in here. The only difference is that there used to be a bathroom, like right there.
There was
there was a private bathroom, like 20 feet from where I was sitting in the 7th floor of the Trib building. But other than that, it's set up exactly the same. So that's why I enjoy this studio more than A. All right, we're talking about specific words and phrases that Chicagoans use and our refusal to actually use real names of things. And the news is coming up in 30 seconds.
The sweet pretty things on Vietnam, of course.
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio here till 5 o'clock, as we are every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, Monday through Friday morning, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. It's Friday morning, so that means all the regular Friday features are coming up. We're going to go to Vic's picks coming up, and we'll talk about the music that Vic's been listening to for this past week. We do that every Friday morning to get an update. And then You Big Dummy, we'll do that. That's when we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. I vote, Tom votes, and then the first person through it, 312-981-7200, gets to be the third vote and the deciding vote on who the dummy of the week is. So that's you, big dummy. And then straight out of context, that's when you listen to this radio station 24-7, and you should because it's the best radio station in the world. You listen 24-7 whenever anybody says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Same goes for Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen to this station 24-7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And then, of course, we close out the morning, as we do every Friday, with Fly Jams Friday. And if you want to get your requests in for any R&B or funky stuff, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Okay, so we're talking about being Chicagoans and saying what we want to say, phrases that we love, words that we exclusively use, and the fact that we refuse to call certain places by their real names. We mentioned that we never call Willis Tower, we call it Sears Tower. Cloud Gate is the Bean. The expressways are not numbers, they're names, like the Stevenson or the Kennedy. Vito and Nick's, they call it Nick and Vito, because Nick was there more. That's just the way we are. That's just the way we are in Chicago. And if you want to jump in with any of those words, phrases, and places that you don't pronounce correctly, it's 312-981-7200. Here's Steve on WGN. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, I got to realize I transplanted in 96. I moved downstate. But I still refer to the Metro as the Metro. There's no cabaret.
Well, okay.
Rosemont Horizon is the Rosemont Horizon.
Yeah.
And bus routes, I still call the 151, the 22, the 36. I don't toss the street.
Yeah, it's not. I'll tell you something though, Steve. It's not Cabaret Metro anymore. It's just.
Oh, really?
No. It's not Cabaret Metro. That's gone. It's just Metro.
Well, yeah, I've never used the term cabaret in front of it.
Yeah, well, for a while it was called Cabaret Metro. I've had Joe Shanahan on the show, and to show my age, I still say Cabaret Metro. And so Joe's like, well, we know what generation you're from, because there was a certain time when it changed over to Cabaret Metro, but it's not anymore. It's just called Metro.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
And plus, the Red Line's always going to be the Howard train.
Well, the Howard and the Brown Line is the Ravenswood. That's the train. That's the station that I grew up next to. I grew up next to the Ravenswood stop on Addison. So, yeah. Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Yep.
Yeah. All that stuff makes sense. I mean, I've now, it's been such a long time since they've switched over to the colors for the train lines that now I refer to it as that, but that was the Ravenswood, and the Red Line was the Lake Dan Ryan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It makes me feel like I know nothing really.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
When did that switch?
I don't. It was a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Yeah. But when I was growing up, when I lived on Addison, it was always the Ravenswood. Lake Dan Ryan and Ravenswood. So there you go. Let's see. Here's Mary on WGN. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
How about Marshall Fields, now called Macy's?
Yeah. Do you still call it Marshall Fields?
Always. We'll always call it Marshall Fields. Yeah. Very interesting program.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Mary. Have a good morning.
Thank you. You
Somebody
too.
Else agrees with Mary there. 847 area code says that store on State Street will always be Marshall Fields, not Macy's.
I still refer to, for my grandmother's sake, I still refer to it as Marshall Fields.
Yeah.
You could say Macy's, and she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. The Marshall Fields. And she's like, oh, yeah.
And it's also the Marshall Fields. The Macy's at Water Tower Place is also, Marshall Field. But, I mean, it's. I remember, I remember when they came in. When Macy's came in, this place, this city was in an uproar.
What was that, mid-2000s?
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit later?
Early mid-2000s, something like that. I want to say that.
Because I remember that. I remember it was on the news literally every day until the final switch.
Oh, it was, I mean.
And then a little bit after.
And there were protesters.
Yeah.
On State Street, there were hundreds and hundreds of protesters out there saying that we don't want Macy's, because Macy's is so associated with New York. We don't want anything from New York, tainting State Street. This is not New York. We are Chicago. You know, it's bad enough we're referred to as the second city, which we've embraced, by the way. The whole second city thing. I love the fact that Compass players change their name to Second City simply because they were tired of being compared to New York.
Mm-hmm. And so I like to think of it as because of the Chicago Fire, as more of a triumphant thing. Like we were, you know, it went down once, but it came back. It's the Second City, even though that's not the origin.
Jay says maybe he should have realized that when he was done that the building looked like a bean, not a cloud. That's on him, not Chi-Town. I love the bean, baby. That's from Jay. But by the way, nobody from Chicago refers to this place as Chi-Town. I have to correct you.
Chi-Town Rising, right?
Nobody refers to it as Chi-Town. There's this show on Showtime, which is a really good show called The Chi. Nobody refers to this place as The Chi. If you're from Chicago, it's Chicago. Nobody says Windy City. Nobody says Chi-Town. Chi-Town is really the one that makes me nuts.
I do like the City of Big Shoulders.
Well, that's fine, you know, but...
That's kind of a Nelson Algren style thing.
Yeah, but Chi-Town? Nobody calls this city Chi-Town. Just like nobody from Chicago goes to Navy Pier, unless relatives are in town. That's the only time anybody who's from Chicago doesn't go to Navy Pier. If you got some relatives coming in or some tourists coming in, you go, all right, we'll go to the Navy Pier. Mark the Breadman says, I always call where the Sox play Comiskey Park. Yeah, that's on this list. P.S., maybe because of my Irish and Scottish heritage, I also put the in front of everything. The in front of everything. I never even knew that was a thing until you brought it up, Tom. But apparently Irish and Scottish heritage, they put the in front of everything, according to Mark the Breadman.
Yeah. He's not Mark Breadman. He's Mark the Breadman.
262 area code says there's no east side of the city. It's the lakefront. I think the people on the east side of the city would disagree with you on that.
Are you sure? I've never really heard anybody call.
Yeah. No. Well, I mean, there's a song called "The Night Chicago Died,"
mm-hmm.
And it refers to on the east side of Chicago. That's not from "The Night Chicago Died." It's from a different song, but it's for the east side of Chicago. And I remember like going, "There's no east side of Chicago. The east side of Chicago is the lake." But then I mentioned that on the air a bunch of years ago. I was like, there's no east side of Chicago. The lyrics are wrong. I got phone calls and I got emails.
Angry letters.
Absolutely. From people who are like, yeah, I can tell you exactly. And they were giving me the borders of what the east side of Chicago is. So there are people who live in that area who absolutely refer to it as the east side.
Okay.
Here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hi, Nick. How you doing? Love your show.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I want to just mention, you guys talk about, you know, Chicago things and stuff. I grew up on the Southwest side in Orland Park, but, I noticed myself kind of, sometimes with how I talk, people pick up on some of the things I talk about. Like, I don't say over there anymore. I don't like enunciate a lot of words. Now I just kind of let it roll and just say over there.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like a New York thing. And people see that and they look at me and they're like, dude, you're not from New York. And I go, I know I'm not from New York.
Yeah.
And I've actually had other people from other states, like Georgia and New York and stuff like that, look at me and talk to me and say, you're from Chicago, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I look at them like they got three heads.
Well, I mean,
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, it's interesting, John, because like we don't think we have an accent, but we do. When you go to other cities, you know, everybody from Chicago, you know, has this certain sort of a twang in the way they talk. We have a certain style of how we deliver the words and the words that we use and the phrases that we use. And when we go to other states, you know, and hear different, you know, what we think are different, you know, I think people from New York don't realize that they have as much of an accent as they do. And especially, well, I mean, I think people from Boston definitely do. But there are people from different parts of the world, not the world, but the different parts of the United States that clearly have a style or an accent or a way of speaking. And Chicago certainly has a very distinctive way of speaking.
Yeah, because the role, there's similarities between real deep Chicago accent and like a New York accent, but there's things where they split off.
Yeah, yeah. John, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200. But, you know, we're forever tainted by that damn super fans, SNL.
Bill Swersky super fans.
Yeah.
I still love it, though.
Oh, I do, it's too. So no, I love it, too. But it's like everybody else in the country thinks that we actually talk that way.
Yeah.
And, you know, I blame Robert Smigel. Smigel wrote that damn sketch.
I wonder if people in Boston really hate that it padded.
Yeah.
I'm not a quap.
Yeah. Yeah. Woodlawn Tap. Here's another one. Tell Hyde Parkers, let's meet at Jimmy's, and they'll know where you're talking about the Woodlawn Tap, the 55th Street Watering Hole. And that's bartender Jimmy Wilson owned and operated Woodlawn Tap for 51 years, from 1948 until he died in 1999, and became so associated with the bar that patrons called it by his name rather than the name in the window. 2 decades after Jimmy drew his last draft, that's still the case. We'll meet you at Jimmy's. And that, of course, is the Woodlawn Tap. Meet you at Jimmy's. And somebody mentioned it via the Mark the Breadman mentioned it, the guaranteed rate field. White Sox founder Charles Comiskey managed to keep his name on this team stadium even after it was torn down and rebuilt in the early 90s. Then U.S. Cellular came along with $68 million for the naming rights. Current owner Jerry Reinsdorf is no sentimentalist. He took the money, and commentators weekly tried to nickname the stadium the Cell. The mortgage leader guaranteed rate came along with some more money, and Reinsdorf named the park after them. It says something about the White Sox place in Chicago baseball lore that their ballpark's name can be so peddled so freely. The Ricketts family would never rename Wrigley Field TD Ameritrade Stadium, or even former owner P.K. Wrigley changed the name to Cubs from Cubs Park to promote his chewing gum company. Some fans still call it Comiskey. Personally, we prefer Sox Park. Because the name may change, but the team never will. There you go. I still call it, I mean, I refer to it as Comiskey, you know, still. But a lot of people call it Sox Park, and that's like a safety. It's like, all right, I can say Sox Park.
Yeah. I get a little bit of chiding because I do call it the Cell.
You call it the Cell?
Because when I was growing up, that's what it was. Yeah. It was the Cell. The Sox play at the Cell.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of heat over it being changed from Comiskey.
I believe it.
Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of heat about that too. Not quite as insane as the people who protest Macy's.
Yeah,
but there was a verbal. The people were verbally upset and visibly upset about the fact that Comiskey was changed over to the U.S. Cellular Field.
I think I've only been to one Sox game in my entire life, and it might have still been when it was Comiskey. When did it change?
91. No. 91 is when the new Comiskey was built.
Yeah.
It was the mid-2000s, because U.S. Cellular is not even around anymore.
Yeah. No,
the company's not around anymore.
Then. So, yeah, I got to see one Sox game while it was still called Comiskey.
All right. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll wrap this up. I want to hear from you guys. Phrases and places that you refuse to call by their real names because we're stubborn. And we got the news coming up after that, and then we'll jump into our regular features, beginning with Vic's Picks, and we'll talk music with Vic after the news.
Eddie was a cop on the east side of Chicago, back in the USA, back in the bad old days, in the heat of a summer night.
Right, Chicago died. It's a terrible song. I can't remember who did the who is this again?
It's Paper Lace.
Paper Lace, that's right. A terrible song that is. Welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're talking about the way Chicagoans talk and how we refer to certain places, not by their real names, but by something else. And here is George on WGN. Hi, George.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right. What's up?
So I was just thinking, I'm like, this happens to me every single time. Just the word Chicago itself, we call it Chicago. Like, we have that chic before, you know, instead of Chicago. We all call it Chicago. So every time somebody asks me, where are you from? Chicago. It's like, oh, you say Chicago, very funny. I'm like, no, that's how you say it, Chicago.
Yeah, well, you know, Jorge, I'm sorry I said George, it's Jorge. I say Chicago. Some people say Chicago. A lot of people say Chicago, but I say Chicago. And I've always said that. That's always the way that I've pronounced it. But it's interesting how there are different ways that you can actually say the name of this city.
Yeah, I don't know, because I mean I'm born and raised in Mexico City, but it's funny, they always, even like some friends that are actually from Chicago, they always say like I as well as that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But you were right, like we have some sort of a different accent.
We do. All right, Jorge, thanks for the call, buddy.
Take care.
Yeah, Chicago. All right, how about this? The J&M Tap, this Ukrainian village corner dive, received the nickname the Secret Squirrel because of its anonymity. There is no name on the outside, just a couple of neon beer signs in the window to indicate that it's a tavern. So, the Secret Squirrel. Here's Kathleen on WGN. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Hi.
I jumped in when I heard you guys talking about Wrigley Field and Comiskey Park. They'll always be. It'll always be Comiskey Park to me. I will never. And I know people say no.
Yep.
The Standard Oil Building. You know,
oh, yeah.
The Hancock Building and the Sears Tower. They used to call that Big Stan, Big Hand, and Big Buck.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. I don't know if you even remember that.
No, I do. I absolutely remember that, yeah.
And it's always going to be that. And then the theaters that they've all changed, I don't even know what to call the Studebaker now.
Yeah.
Or the Bank of America Theater. I can't think of what it used to be, or the LaSalle Bank Building.
Yeah.
But that's got a different name, too, because LaSalle Bank is always gone. But, yeah, all of those things. What do they call Rosemont Horizon now? I can't even think of it.
What do they call what?
The Horizon Stadium.
That's the Allstate Arena.
Yeah, it'll always be the Rosemont Horizon.
Rosemont Horizon, yeah, I agree. Yep. I agree. All right, Kathleen, thanks. Yeah. Take care.
Thanks.
Here's Ron on WGN. Hey, Ron.
Hey, what's going on, Nick?
Hey.
For me, I'm a little younger, so you might even refer to this as World Music Theater, but the Tweeter Center will always be the Tweeter Center. It was never First Midwest Bank Amphitheater or now being Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. It was just my first concert I ever went to was at the place, and it was the Tweeter Center, and that's just ingrained in my head. I always remember the sign on I-80.
Yeah, I refer to it as the World. I refer to it as the World Music Theater. That's what it was when it first opened up, and so that's what I can't keep track of, you know, what they call these theaters anymore. I don't even, you know, these venues. I really don't know.
It goes 2 years. It feels like it's 2-3 years, and then they change the name.
Yeah,
I actually had I was describing the place because I was just there recently to see Adam Sandler, and I said, oh yeah, I saw Adam Sandler at the Tweeter Center, and all these older guys I work with, none of them had any idea what the hell I was talking about.
Right.
I said, yeah, well, you know, it's been two other names. It used to be the World. Oh, as soon as you say that, and then it kind of clicks a light bulb.
Right. Yeah, true. All right, Ron, thanks, man.
All right, have a good weekend.
You too. The Tweeter Center. Yeah. Lakeshore Drive is also referred to as the Inner Drive and the Outer Drive, and you still hear that on traffic reports. So that the Outer Drive was different than what the Inner Drive, the Lakeshore Inner Drive was.
Mm-hmm.
But no, nobody refers to it as that anymore. But I think they still say, they do, Inner Drive and Outer Drive. They say that on the traffic reports.
Well, it's an important distinction for me because it tells me which bus I'm going to take.
Yeah, well.
Because I can either take the 146 or the 151.
Mm-hmm. West Ridge. So named on the city's community area map because it lies west of Ridge Avenue. This neighborhood is known to most people who live there as West Rogers Park. Adam Langer's novel Crossing California, which takes place in that neighborhood, refers to it as West Rogers Park. And so does Driving West Rogers Park, which is a documentary on Orthodox Jewish community. West Ridge, nobody calls it that. Jewel Osco, well, we all know what we call that's the Jewels. You have to add the. And you have to add the S. Let's go to the Jewels. It's funny because I refer to it as the Jewels in a joking manner. And, you know, there are still many people who listen who get annoyed when I say that. And they're like, doesn't he know that the place is called Jewel? I worked at Jewel for 11 years. And I had a paycheck that said Jewel on it every 2 weeks. So I know the name of it. And I shop there. That's where I get my groceries. My dad works there. But I can't tell you the number of people who legitimately go, yeah, let's go to the Jewel. I'm just going to go over to the Jewels. And I still call it that. So. And then finally, 875 North Michigan Avenue. We just talked about that one. Of course, that's the John Hancock. And it's always going to be the John Hancock. Always. There's no way that we're going to call that anything but the John Hancock Building. So. We'll close it out with a couple of texts here. 773 area code says, how about something as simple as pop versus soda? I love the show. It's pop, man.
I just ask for RC.
It's pop. RC?
Yeah, man.
What, are you living in 1978?
Maybe. I love RC.
So you just order a pizza just so you can get some free RC?
Exactly. And I'm never out of RC.
Yeah, I mean, clearly. It's pop, though. It's not soda. You say pop in this city. And finally, Bakery Guy says, Northwestern, Dyke Stadium. It's now Ryan Stadium. It should be Ryan Field at Dyke Stadium. I still refer to it as Dyke Stadium. Still. So. And then every time I say that, Dave Ennett punches me in the mouth.
He's got a mean right hook.
He does, man. Absolutely. Don't call it Dyke Stadium around him. All right. We're going to break. We got the news coming up, and then right after the news, it's Vic's Picks. We're going to dive into the world of music that Vic has been learning about and listening to. It's a weekly feature right here on 720 WGN. News after this. Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. That's Friday, and that means Fly Jams Friday. Coming up a little bit later on, get your requests going. Luscious Hushes, we'll take care of them for you at 312-981-7200. Also, our regular feature is You Big Dummy. And you can also vote on that because we'll read some real stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. Tom, vote on the biggest dummy. I vote on the biggest dummy. And then first person through you, 312-981-7200. First person gets to be the third in deciding vote. And then, of course, we have Straight Out of Context. That's when you listen 24-7 to this radio station. Whenever anybody says anything that can be pulled out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. And the same thing goes for Nick D Show Spies. Listen 24-7 to the station whenever anybody mentions me or the show. We want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. But right now, we want to begin our first regular Friday feature. So, Tom, hit it.
"100 Albums." One, Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
Yes.
We're back. So, Vic was embarrassed by his lack of musical knowledge. It's it might even be worse than Patty's, which is really bad. And so he wanted to do something about it. So he dug into the Rolling Stone top 100 albums of all time and began listening to them. And learning about them and researching some of the stuff, and we're doing a week by week update on Vic's Picks. Hi, Vic.
Hello, sir.
All right. So where do you want to begin? We'll talk about this week's picks.
Number 47 on the RS-100, John Coltrane, yeah. A Love Supreme.
Yeah.
All right. That's an album that was released in 1965. I listened to the deluxe edition, which is a little different. I'll explain. It's got 13 songs. It's an hour and 50 minutes long, almost 2 hours. And this was a complicated album, first of all. I'll cover it quickly, but I decided to absorb this one on a Saturday morning at 7 a.m. Jeannie and I were still in bed. We had laundry going, and we thought, we're stuck here. Let's listen to it. But it was heavy for a Saturday morning.
Yeah. It is. It's a challenging, it's a bit of a challenging record, especially if you're not familiar with Coltrane, or if you're not huge into jazz either,
because
that's a pretty big leap.
Yeah, and I mean, I knew John Coltrane. I mean, I don't even listen to music really until now, but incredible musician. Everyone's heard of, you know, most people have heard of John Coltrane. But this, yeah, for, like you said, for a newbie to jazz, it was complicated for me. And I felt a little lost at times. But other times I thought, geez, I love the saxophone or the cello. You know,
yeah.
At one point I heard the cello, and so I enjoyed it. But again, it was complicated for me to get into at times, and
especially on a lazy Saturday morning.
Yeah, you know what I mean. I mean, this one is probably best. You know, an evening album, maybe with a little wine if you partake in that sort of thing.
What was it, Tom? What was it you said that how you should listen to this album?
Yeah, and I cannot condone all of this, but you should be listening to it at night in a old leather chair with a glass of brandy and a pack of Chesterfields.
There you go.
That's
beautifully put. Yeah.
That kind of sums it up.
Girlfriend at 7 a.m.
No.
Saturday with laundry going. Yeah,
no.
That was the wrong way to do it.
Put yourself in the mood here for this one.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, like Tom said, with the right setting, that's a great sound.
Yeah, I mean, there used to be this really great old bar called O'Rourke's that used to be on Orleans and North Avenue, on the corner of Orleans and North Avenue. They ended up moving it to across the street from the Steppenwolf on Halsted.
Mm.
And the jukebox had nothing but jazz on it.
Oh, wow.
And it was a dark old Irish pub. And this was back when you could smoke in a bar, and that Coltrane was on there, and it was played a lot.
Right.
So there was, but that's like the kind of atmosphere where you're gonna, you know, like you said, people are drinking whiskey and they're smoking cigarettes, and the dark, and the bar was very, very dark. It had a lot of history too. O'Rourke's had a ton of history too. An old school bar,
but an Irish bar with a jukebox with only jazz.
Nothing but jazz.
Seems like an odd mix. But
yeah, it was nothing but jazz. Huh. Nothing but jazz. And for some reason, nothing but jazz. And a Steppenwolf's greatest hits. I'm not really sure why that was on there. Jay, who, by the way, who was one of the owners of the place, Jay, who passed away a few years ago, an amazing dude, an unbelievable bartender, and the owner of what I consider to be the best bar that this city has ever had, and that was the old O'Rourke's on North Avenue.
Hmm.
And he just passed away a few years ago. He was a huge jazz fan, so that explained why it was all jazz.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, and one other thing I'll say about A Love Supreme, the deluxe edition has the... So I learned... So a little bit I learned about jazz was this is a suite and what a suite is. This particular suite has four parts.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it wasn't the deluxe edition, it would just be those four tracks. But the deluxe edition has those same four tracks again, but it was recorded... It's the only live recording of him doing those four parts. It's the only live recording in existence. It was at some jazz festival in France back in 65, and they recorded it. And they're much longer in the live version.
Oh, yeah.
Like one of the songs on the regular album is 11 minutes. It's 21 minutes at the live festival.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, jazz, they riff, man.
They just
go. All right, what's next?
46 on the list, Bob Marley and the Wailers, Legend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had heard this. I lived in the Caribbean for several years, and so obviously I had listened to quite a bit of reggae, and this album is one of my favorites. I had never listened to it in this way, you know, from top to the bottom, and I really don't think it matters. There's 29 songs. They put it out in 84. It's 2 hours, 23 minutes long. It really, this particular album, I don't think matters how you digest it, because it's a compilation, and so, but it is I think a good compilation of his songs. There's some criticism out there of it because they didn't pick a lot of his songs that were more critical of social issues.
Yeah,
is a less political album by him, but it's a great album.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, you said you heard it a lot because you lived in the Caribbean. Anybody who's been in a college dorm room has heard this album, and most, you know, like white college students at some point had a Bob Marley poster on their wall in their dorm room. So that was,
one of the college dorm room.
Oh yeah,
album.
Huge college dorm room album.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have a little bit of that? Great stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It's great stuff. I've heard it too much. That's my only problem.
Yeah.
I've heard it too much. And the other thing about Bob Marley, and I'm sure that you probably know this, Vic, is that whenever an artist dies at a young age, there's a massive mystique that immediately becomes attached to that person. You know, we lost Bob Marley. He was young when he died. And he was a hero to so many people, you know, especially in Jamaica. And so, like, that reverence became, after he had passed away, that reverence became, well, not to be, no pun intended, but legendary. And that goes along with how people perceive his music is just, you know, the reputation that he had.
Excuse me. And I know that he's beloved by the people of Jamaica. I knew several people from Jamaica when I lived in the Caribbean. And in fact, I had a maid who lived in the home. She was a live-in maid. She was from Jamaica. Loved Bob Marley.
Yeah, absolutely.
45, The Band, self-titled The Band.
Yeah.
Never had heard of them. Do you think a lot of people hadn't heard of The Band, or is that?
I think a lot of people know who The Band.
Oh, really? They definitely did.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard of them. I didn't know a single song on the album. Yeah, it was completely foreign to me.
There's a great, I just recommend to you. Did you like the album, by the way?
I did.
Yeah, there's a great, great concert film that Martin Scorsese directed called The Last Waltz.
I read about that.
Yeah,
when I was,
and if you enjoyed that album, you should definitely see the movie because it's one of the best concert documentaries ever made.
I plan on it. I wrote it down and said, watch it.
Yeah.
Yes. I read about that.
So the band, what was it about that you enjoyed there?
The thing that surprised me is it kind of sounds contemporary. Like this could be a band today in some of the tracks.
Yeah.
Really? I had to read about it, though, because I couldn't figure out why they were on the top 100, not to be critical of them, but it didn't blow my mind, this album. But as I read more about them, I kind of understand why it made the list. But I really, it's just a guess. I really, can you tell me what was so great about this album? How did it land at 45 above some of the other albums
to? The thing about the band is that they were musicians.
I did read that.
And like Robbie Robertson is considered one of the greatest songwriters of all time. Levon Helm. The guys in the band were revered, especially by people in the business.
Can I say something? That's a great point that I forgot. One thing I read about them was that's how they came up with their name. That's how a lot of the front men that they played behind would introduce them as the band.
Yeah.
And also, a month before this album came out, which the album came out in 69, they played at the final day of Woodstock and were introduced as the band. And then when the album came out, they decided to name themselves the band because a lot of people at Woodstock kind of liked them.
No, they're, like I said, they were really revered when you see the movie The Last Waltz, the incredible talent that show up for what's supposed to be their last show is insane. Dylan shows up, Neil Young. I mean, it's just the list of people who showed up to be at the band's final gig, it just shows you how much they were loved and how much they were revered by the people in the business as well.
That had to be one of the reasons why they ended up on this list.
Yeah, no question about it.
Well, I did write down that I can't recall it right now to memory, but track 6, Whispering Pines, I loved that song apparently because I wrote it down.
Because you wrote it down.
Also, track 5, Up on Cripple Creek.
Classic.
Yeah, that's a classic. I love that one. Yeah. And track 12, King Harvest. That sounded familiar, actually.
Yeah.
I may have heard that one.
Okay. Back with my wife in Tennessee, when one day she called to me, Virgil, quick, come see, back old Robert E. Lee. Now, I don't mind chopping wood, and I don't care. Right. Money's no good. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. That's The Band, which is one of the albums that the self-titled album, The Band, that Vic has been listening to and learning about. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. Coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Speaking of Vic Vaughn, let's get back to Vic's picks. Okay, Vic, where do you want to go next?
Number 44 on the RS-100, Patti Smith, Horses.
Yeah.
1975, 8 songs, 43 minutes, which was short compared to some of the albums I've been listening to. And that was her debut album. She's a Chicagoan. I didn't know that. She was born in Chicago. Mm. She moved away when she was only 4. But, okay, this album, she came out of New York City's punk rock scene, I learned. I did actually recognize track 1, Gloria. I didn't recognize it until we got to the chorus, but I did recognize that one. Track 2, Redondo Beach, kind of caught me off guard because that sounded like reggae to me. And then track 3 starts with like spoken word poetry. So by track 3, I was like, let me look into this. Who is? And then I realized, okay, she's written several books of poetry. And as I learned more about her, her music made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. And this is pretty, I will say this, though. Again, that's a pretty challenging record.
Yeah.
For someone who's never heard of her or read about her or anything like that, or at least seen her. She was notoriously really sort of crazy live in her live performances. She was kind of crazy in real life as well. But like on stage, she did a lot of stuff that nobody else was doing. And one of the things that she's kind of known for, and I know this is really silly, was that she did not shave her armpits.
She was pretty proud
and
of
had
that.
A pretty, oh yeah, and had a pretty like here it is. This is me. I don't care. And that was she was very actually great poet. very rebellious in that way. And in fact, Gilda Radner invented a character that is obviously solely based on Patti Smith. And I can't remember the character's name right now, but she did a few performances on SNL dressed like Patti Smith with the hair under her arms. But she made up a different name. But it was a character that was completely inspired. Gilda Radner, completely inspired by Patti Smith.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I did her lyrics, definitely some of them blew me away, especially after I learned that she was a poet. The interesting thing about this album, as I was getting close to the end, again, it only takes 43 minutes to listen to it, and I don't think you'll regret it if you've never heard it, but a little weird, but I will say, I read a quote that she said she did, you know, because she said she didn't create this album for the masses, which made sense to me. And she said she wrote it. Her goal was to write it for someone that was like her, and that, you know, they didn't want to write a hit record. And I was like, well, oops, you're on the 100
top 100 list.
But interesting album.
By the way, the character that Gilda Radner created was Candy Slice.
Wow.
That was the character that was absolutely inspired by Patti Smith.
I have to go and find clips of that now.
Absolutely.
And watch
Candy Slice. All right. And then the last one that we're going to talk about, Vic, I believe you lost your mind over this one, at least from the Facebook posts and the messages that we got.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
This is number 43, Pink Floyd, The Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah.
1973, 10 songs, 43 minutes. And I read, you know, that this was recorded at Abbey Road Studios in London. I think that's important to say. But I learned that Pink Floyd was an English band. Okay, I didn't know that. So that tells you how... you know, why this would blow my mind, because I've never listened to any of their stuff. Although I did listen to The Wall today, too, just as a side note, just for fun. I call it extra credit.
Yeah.
And it sounded quite a bit different to me, but it was good. I really liked the album. But anyway, this one, Nick, blew my mind. Started to blow my mind. Tracks one and two, I got through okay. But On the Run, track three, I wrote down, so I'm just going to read you my notes. It's just tickling my brain. That's what I wrote down.
Yeah.
And then another 45 seconds into track three, I wrote down, it feels like a pressure washer has made its way into my ear canals. I don't know why. I'll have to go back and read that, listen to that. And then I wrote down, I hear baby's footsteps down a hallway. Mm. I heard raindrops like on bamboo. And then an alarm clock. I heard bells.
Yep.
It was bizarre. Track three started to blow my mind, and then track four, I thought perfect timing. It started with a nice, strong guitar riff after track three, which was, like I said, very just a trippy song. And then four, just with this strong guitar riff, I loved it right off the bat. Finally, like 2.5 minutes into track four, the guy starts singing.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it was an instrumental song. I don't think I've ever heard a song that went that long without, and then he starts singing, track four, great song, Time, and then track five, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, I've got a little Time right here, so, you know.
Let's hear it.
Picking away the moments that make up a dull day.
Vic, there are many songs on this album that are FM rock staples, and that's one of them. And Money is a huge FM rock staple.
The only rock song to ever chart in like the top 10 or top 20 that wasn't in 4/4.
Yeah. And by the way, this also, I don't know how much research you did on this album, but this album holds the record for being on the top 100 for longer than any other album.
Yeah, I was going to write. I was going to write that, and then I just the stats just kept going with sales.
Yeah,
and, you know, yeah. It's very obviously well performing. I'd never heard track four. That song's amazing to me. I love that song.
Yeah,
track five, Great Gig in the Sky. It's beautiful. And Claire Torrey,
unbelievable.
I had to look her. Who is singing? Who is the female singing on this song? Because it was incredible.
That's incredible.
I've never heard anybody sing like that.
Yep.
And I mean, it was just like scream singing at times.
Yeah.
Very, very different, very emotional. I mean, anger, pain, sadness, it's all there. And without a single word. She doesn't say a single word. Mm. It's just, it's wordless singing.
There's an amazing moment in the movie School of Rock where he's giving all the kids CDs for them to do research because they're going to be in a band together. And so he gives the little African American girl who was afraid to audition because she ends up having an amazing voice. He gives her Dark Side of the Moon, and he says, "Listen to the vocal solo on Gig in the Great Gig in the Sky.
God.
It'll blow your mind." Is what he's
incredible. I've seen that, but I didn't know what he was talking
about.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Something funny at the very end of track five. I had my headphones on. I was sitting in my living room, and at the very end, there's this intense noise that kind of comes out of the background, and I was like, what the hell, what is that instrument? And then the music's dying down, but this sound, and it sounded like a drill. It was a drill. They're drilling on the outside of my building.
That's what it was. They're drilling on the outside of the building. Yeah,
but you know, on this album,
yeah,
it could totally be in the track. I thought it was actually part of the song.
Yeah. Well, it's a great record, but I have to say this, Vic. I don't think it's their best album, and I know that you were blown away by it, but I don't think it's their best album. My favorite album is The Wall. My favorite album by Pink Floyd is The Wall. And Tom, yours is Wish You Were Here.
Yeah, Wish You Were Here.
There's some weirder stuff though. I mean, I like Metal is one of my favorite Pink Floyd albums.
Wait till he hears who Syd Barrett is.
Oh yeah,
oh my
God. Yeah. Syd Barrett, who was not with the band at that point. He was one of the founders of the band. And was the main voice of the band, and then he left the band. He had a mental breakdown. He went nuts. And he left the band, and then Roger Waters took over and became the creative force. He and David Gilmour became sort of the creative force behind the band, and they're responsible for Dark Side of the Moon.
I don't know what it says about me, but this, I think, is my favorite album so far that I've heard, that I've listened to on this list.
That's
it
great,
has moved to the top of my list, and I just say bring on the rest of their music. I'm definitely going to listen to it.
Very cool.
Also, I want to say the cover art, to me, I looked it up. It's by Storm Thorgerson.
Yeah.
I think it's great for a simple design. I think it's probably one of the greatest that I've seen so far of simple album design. Because it is simple, but I think it's great.
It's one of the most iconic album covers of all time.
I recognized it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, well, thanks, Vic. We'll check in again next week. This has been a lot of fun. That's Vic's Picks for this week, and we're going to break, and we'll have the news right after this.
You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did?
Oh, no. You big dummy.
You dummy.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Here till 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. That means all the regular Friday features are happening right now. And this is time for You Big Dummy. This is when we take real news stories and we read them of real people doing real dumb stuff. And then we vote on them. Tom votes, I vote, and then first person through at 312-981-7200 becomes the deciding vote, and you vote for who you think should be Dummy of the Week. Yeah. So let's begin. Dummy number one, dummy number one, dummy number one. A woman has recounted how a brief encounter with a handsome stranger in a bar turned ugly after she received an outrageous demand the following day. Chloe Matthews from London took to Twitter at the weekend to vent her total disbelief with the world after she received a text message from a guy she had shared a couple of drinks with the night before. She writes, so a guy bought me a drink when I was out last night, and I gave him my number. And she says she is officially retiring from nights out. The tweet was accompanied by a screenshot of a series of text messages Chloe woke up to from the guy the next day. Who is this? The stranger wrote. When the student paramedic answered that she had been the girl that he was chatting with at the bar the previous night, he asked her if she had been the one wearing the quote-unquote denim dress. Nice one, he wrote back when he confirmed it was indeed her. Could you transfer me for those drinks I bought you last night since we didn't come home together? I don't think it was really worth my time. Aside from his atrocious spelling and grammar, by the way, everything is misspelled here, everything. The guy's demand for a refund after he failed to have sex in a presumed transaction left Chloe and the rest of the world completely floored. People labeled him an absolute loser, saying Chloe was better off without him and condemning men who expect sex in return for drinks as ridiculous. Hundreds of people came to Chloe's defense, commenting on how astonishing the demand was and how dark the dating pool had become. others said that they were that a very clear picture of what this plonker must have looked like. Others wondered what the guy's demands might have been if the pair had actually gone the extra step and gone for a meal. The act of chivalry is alive and well not, one man wrote. Another said that he was ashamed of my sex and apologized on behalf of men everywhere after reading the messages. The outrageous post was liked more than 56,000 times and retweeted more than 8,400 times. People were absolutely gobsmacked as to how this guy had the nerve to request a refund because he didn't receive sex. This is a joke, surely. Is this what society has come to? One person asked. Another joked, his mom must be so proud. Others had more creative ideas to get back at Chloe's crass admirer. One person asked Chloe, please tell me you didn't pay him back. And she joked, no, I'm far too skint for that. After another said that she could barely believe the scenario was real, and Chloe also responded, seizing on her 15 minutes of fame to do some good, Chloe called on thousands of people currently following her in her unfortunate dating life to sign a petition instead. If you could, spare some time to sign this petition referring to people to a campaign to improve funding for paramedic students.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period. Dummy.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Dummy number two. A woman accused of mailing synthetic marijuana to inmates at correctional facilities in Lancaster and Worcester was arrested and charged in federal court. Caitlin Mercy, 27, of Norwood, was charged with distribution of controlled substance in the federal court. She was released on conditions following her initial appearance, said Christina DeLauro Sterling, spokeswoman for the U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling. Marcy is being accused of mailing papers soaked in synthetic marijuana, known as K2, to the Sousa Baranowski Correctional Center in Lancaster and the Worcester County House of Corrections. The papers were disguised as legal mail since it is not subject to strict screenings due to attorney-client privileges. The common practice is to soak or spray the liquid marijuana onto papers. Those papers can then be smoked. Investigators recording jail calls were tipped off to the plan when they heard Marcy allegedly arranging to mail synthetic marijuana to the Lancaster Correctional Center. Investigators subsequently intercepted the mail that she had sent to an inmate. The paper tested positive for synthetic marijuana. A month later, Marcy was allegedly caught in a U.S. Post Office security video sending similar package to what looked like what came from the lawyer to an inmate in the Worcester County House of Corrections. The package was intercepted. The documents also tested positive for marijuana. Marcy could face a maximum of 20 years in prison if found guilty. The case was being investigated by Lelling and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives in the Massachusetts Department of Corrections.
La-dee-dee, they la-dee-dum, is dummy. Just Donna and me, and the dummy makes three.
Have you ever seen him act? I've been watching him act all his life. Like a dummy.
Dummy number three. Dummy number three. Dummy number three. A 22-year-old woman admitted to stealing a puppy from the puppy barn in Vineyard because she wanted to replace her family dog that died, according to the Utah County Sheriff's Office. On May 1, the woman, later identified as Savannah Morgan Griffin, entered the business. She allegedly stole a golden doodle puppy. Golden doodle puppy? So is that a poodle and a golden retriever? A golden doodle puppy that costs $1,200. $1,200. On May 8th, a local attorney called the detective who was investigating the theft. According to the Utah County Sheriff's Office, the attorney claimed the puppy had been brought to him by someone who knew the suspect. During an interview with Griffin at her attorney's office nearly 20 days later, she admitted to stealing the puppy and said she wanted to replace her family dog that had died. Griffin now faces one count of Class A misdemeanor theft. The case has been turned over to the Utah County Attorney's Office. The puppy has since been returned to the puppy barn.
I mean, I didn't know you were interested in gardening.
Why not?
Well, up to now, the only thing you've grown is dumber and dumber. The only reason I call you a dummy is because I call them as I see them.
What, $1,200? Are they like...
They're like designer dogs, man.
Golden doodles, are they like rare or something?
Well, I mean, it takes a certain level of breeding.
$1,200, though, that's a lot of money for a puppy.
No, I hear you.
The puppy barn.
That's why she stole it.
Wow, all right, $1,200. All right, we're going to break here for the weather, and then we'll come back and finish up. We got two more dummy stories, and then we got a vote, and then we'll do a recap, and you can call in and vote as well. Be our third vote. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. Regular features are on the way. We've got Nick D Show Spies and Fly Jams Friday coming up. But we're still doing You Big Dummy. Dummy number four. Dummy number four. Dummy four. File this under things not to do. When a Taco Bell in Louisiana ran out of taco shells on Monday, June 3rd, a customer thought it would be best to get involved with the police. The Slidell Police Department called it a taco travesty, but they don't agree with the emergency call. Somebody called in to complain that the Taco Bell on Gauss Boulevard ran out of hard and soft shell tacos, soft taco shells. The Slidell Police Department wrote on Facebook, "While this is truly a travesty, the police can't do anything about this." Police say the call falls into the category of we can't make this stuff up. Hopefully, they replenished in time for Taco Tuesday.
My only child is a dummy.
Yeah, I'm worthless, penniless, broke, busted, and
a dummy.
By the way, that actually happened to me. One of the worst fast food establishments in the city is the... I don't know if it's gotten better. This was some years ago. Is on the corner of Irving in California, Irving Park in California, there is a combo KFC Taco Bell. And I've had terrible service from both sides. Went in one time, walked up to the counter at Taco Bell, and they said, "Just want to let you know, we're out of taco shells and lettuce." I'm like, that's all you serve. I mean, we're out of taco shells and lettuce. That was just one of the many fantastic adventures that that I had at the Irving in California.
Run to the Jewels, get some.
Oh my God, we're out of taco shells and lettuce. All right.
Dummy number five. Dummy number five. Apple product launches always get buzz, but one new gadget announcement has left some people bemused. A monitor stand that costs nearly as much as some computers. At its annual Worldwide Developer Conference in San Jose last week, Apple revealed a collection of new products, including a monitor stand for $999. That's on top of the hefty price tag for its new Mac Pro desktop, which starts at $6,000, or and a display monitor, the Pro Display XDR, a 32-inch 6K Retina LCD display, which is $4,999. The Pro Stand has an intricately engineered arm that perfectly counterbalances the display so that it's virtually weightless, allowing users to easily place it into a position, the company notes on its website. The stand is optional. Mac Pro users could technically lean a monitor against the computer itself instead. It's unclear as of now if the new system will be compatible to the third-party monitor stands. CNN has contacted Apple to comment on this. But the stand caused a stir on social media, with some technology fans mocking the price of what is generally regarded as an unexciting accessory. After all, the stand is more expensive than the iPhone X, which is currently for sale on Apple's website at just $749. The Pro Stand at $999 is said by Apple to be an intricately engineered arm. Twitter user Adrian Lynch wrote in a tweet, "The Pro Stand, costing more than most laptops and phones outside of the Apple's realm, is the ultimate middle finger to any consumer that is seriously considering their machine. Every new device Apple has released in the last year is a cash grab in exchange for no new functionality." Another Twitter user tweeted, "This Mac Pro screen stand, I repeat, stand, costs $999. Let that sink in for a moment. Apple has developed a reputation for hiking product prices without necessarily hampering sales. Sometimes there are practical reasons for the price increases due to components inside. Apple has yet to respond to CNN's request to comment on the cost of this product. Apple revealed a collection of new products at the Worldwide Developer Conference. In addition to the new Mac Pro and its accessories, Apple also announced new features coming to iOS 13 and that its iTunes music platform will be replaced by a trio of desktop apps called Music, TV, and Podcast. It also teased a menstrual cycle tracker coming to the Apple Watch.
And I can't wait to see you starring in your first movie.
Yeah.
Deep Dummy.
All right. We got a vote here. Let me do some recapping before we do the voting. Okay, we've got the dummy who wanted to be reimbursed for the drinks because he didn't get sex. We got the dummy who mailed papers soaked in synthetic marijuana into jails. We got the dummy who stole a golden doodle, $1,200 golden doodle, to replace the family dog. We got the dummy who called the cops in emergency because Taco Bell ran out of taco shells. And we have the dummy corporation that priced a monitor stand at about $1,000. All right, you guys call in. First person in, it'll be the third vote, 312-981-7200. All right, Tom, what do we make of all these?
Well, I'm kind of between the Taco Bell and the Apple, but I'm going to go with Apple because I was floored by that announcement,
yeah.
Like many people were. I could not believe that they were dumb enough to think that we would be dumb enough.
No,
it's insulting.
You're an Apple user, right?
Yeah, I've used Apple my entire life. I mean, obviously, I know I use a regular PC, but my dad was an early adopter back in the 80s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I used Apple for a while. I had one of those fantastic iMacs, the big with the handle.
Oh, that were colored?
Yeah.
Like they had
My ex-wife and I had the strawberry colored model.
Ooh.
It had a handle on top and it was all, everything was inside.
the kind that they break open in Zoolander.
Exactly. That's it. But I've since moved on. I'm an Android user.
Yeah, I can understand
now.
That.
So, but anyway. Okay, we need a third vote here. 312-981-7200, first person through. So you're voting for Apple.
Yes.
I'm voting for the guy who called the cops on Taco Bell, because I should have done that when I went in there at Irving in California. So we need to break the tie. So these are the only two that you are voting between. Okay, you have to you either want the dummy who called the cops because Taco Bell ran out of taco shells, or the dummy corporation that would be Apple that priced a monitor stand at nearly $1,000. So the phone lines are open. Those are the two you have to choose from. 312-981-7200. You're the deciding vote. 312-981-7200. Either the dummy who called the cops because Taco Bell ran out of taco shells, or the dummy corporation that priced a monitor stand at $1,000. 312-981-7200. First person through will vote. Hello? This thing on? 312-981-7200. First person through right now can vote.
Oh.
There we go. It's the dummy who called the cops because Taco Bell ran out of taco shells, or the dummy corporation that priced a monitor stand at $1,000. Those are your two choices. So I believe we have someone on the line right now who will vote. Okay, Dave, you got the dummy who called the cops because Taco Bell ran out of taco shells, or you got the dummy corporation that priced a monitor stand at $1,000. What's your vote?
My vote?
Yes, Dave.
I am a police dispatcher, and I took a call one night from a Burger King customer who wanted to complain about the food was just not quite right, and they thought we needed to respond to that. So I have to vote for the Taco Bell.
All right, sounds great. Thanks, Dave.
All right,
take
you
care,
bet.
Buddy. That's hilarious.
It's poor Dave.
It happens more than once, I guess.
Oh, Dave. Yeah. I feel really bad for him.
What kind of calls does Dave get? I wonder if he's working now. If he's a dispatcher on the overnights, that's when you have to handle the phone calls during the overnight hours.
Well, generally people are very respectful.
Yeah.
I will say that.
I know it gets weird, though.
Sometimes.
Don't tell me it doesn't get weird, especially around a full moon. Around a full moon, you know, I worked with Dan for many years on this shift, and Dan said there is absolutely no question about it. A few days before the full moon, it gets real weird.
Well, Vic and I did commiserate a little bit before the show about people calling in and being like, you know, when's the Bears game? I was like, that's not what this line is for. What channel?
Yeah, what channel is this? Hey, I'm having trouble with my dishwasher.
I don't have a computer.
Yeah. What are we, in New York now? What's going on?
Yeah, they really want to know in Rochester.
Like,
what's
going on?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Jesus. So that was water. Now it's wine. Oh, and The Last Temptation of Christ, everybody. All right. Directed by Martin Scorsese. Okay, we got a break here. The news is coming up, and then we've got our regular features, Straight Out of Context and Nick D Show Spies, and then we'll get some fly jams in for you. So when I'm in your neighborhood, you better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, boy, I'm coming straight out of context, context, context. Context, context. What's up? Tell them where you're from. Straight out of context, 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 context. That's right, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 o'clock. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5. The great Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. It's Friday, and our regular features are continuing. This is Straight Out of Context. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever anybody says anything that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle like a 9-year-old, you jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, Tom, we're ready?
All right, there's a lot here, so I'll try to fly through them. First up, we got Diane caught the lovely Jess Raines, Matt Bubala's producer, saying this.
You just got mad excited.
Okay.
He's excited. All right, next up, Tom from Bartlett heard Lou Manfredini say this one on remote.
We have showers there, and you can go ahead and clean yourself up. So,
jeez. Where was that remote?
Getting nasty. I don't know.
God.
I don't know.
All right.
Finally, I think this might be his debut. The unbelievable Vic Vaughn got caught by Streamlit
Steve.
Oh, no,
this is not his first
time. This is not his first time? Okay, yeah. But here's Vic.
We'll cram it in this weekend.
Yeah, Vic's no stranger to this segment.
Good,
yeah.
Good.
All right.
All right. Next up, Jim Toronto made a special appearance on the Dean Richards Show.
It's not as big as you would have thought.
Wow.
And that was caught by Brian.
Okay.
Dean actually appears a few times on the list today. Yeah. Here's one from Margaret in Bridgeport.
Want some salami and cheese?
Come sit by me.
Oh, God. All right.
He's got your meat. Again, here's Dean Richards, and this is coming to us from Brian again.
Wouldn't it bothered me if it was even longer?
He had to have been talking about a movie.
Yeah, talking about Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
He very much enjoyed it.
Yep.
All right. Super producer Joe Romano got caught by Brian.
Engineering came in my ear there.
Oh, no. Oh, man. All right.
Next up, we got you here.
Me?
Yeah, naturally. You got caught by Paul.
He's just going down, coming back up and going down. What was I talking about?
Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the little spider.
Yeah, okay.
All right, here's sportscaster Kevin Powell. He got caught by, Jesse.
Sometimes you hit it a little too hard. You're like, I didn't mean to be that aggressive.
Jeez.
Hitting it hard.
Wow.
Rim sports.
All right there, K-Paul.
All right, we got Steve Cochran caught by Ken in Hillside.
Scratch me just above my butt.
Whoa.
They were talking about petting dogs.
Oh, okay.
Or something like that.
I was hoping that would be something like that. Wow. All right.
Yeah. Here we go. The king and queen of Straight Out of Context caught by Deanna.
Then when you panic and pull,
you couldn't get it out.
Yeah, but then if you relaxed, you could get it out very easily.
Right.
I don't even know what to say.
Shameful.
Wendy is on. I think Wendy clearly holds the record for being having most appearances on this show in the history of this segment. Okay.
And then another one from Deanna. This is Kim Gordon.
Having more fun on the back end.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. All right.
All right. Here's a little celebrity catch by Dirty Dave. Here's Marsha Cross. From, I believe, Desperate Housewives?
Yes.
All right.
Anus. You just have to just get used to it.
Oh, man. Wow. All right.
Another one for Dean. Kelly from Elgin.
Did you get it in the clown's mouth?
Oh, that's good. That's good. All right.
All right. And here we go. Wendy, this one sent in from Mark in St. Charles.
I love that it takes two of you to team up on one of me.
Wow.
Woof.
Ooh, boy. Was she referring to Bertrand and Bill?
Very good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, correct. And then last one here, Maria in Crystal Lake.
I didn't last long enough.
That was Wendy.
And that was Wendy.
That was Wendy. Of course.
All right.
Of course. All right. And I'm sure she'll return next week. Keep your ears peeled for all the dirty talk here on 720 WGN. And again, listen 24/7, jot it down, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All righty then.
Ooh, what do you do? No one else can dance like you. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody
spies.
Like
hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody
spies.
Like us.
Yeah, there you go. That's what we do every Friday morning. We play them back. What you do is you listen 24/7 to this radio station. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show, we want to know about it. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right, what do we got?
All right, first up, we got a little mention on the Steve Cochran show.
But if you're definitely approaching a strange dog, you got to ask the owner, the other person, if you're inclined to pet the dog, is it okay? And then reach your hand out, let them sniff you. And sniff them back if you want to. I think that's totally fair. And then, a gentle up. Where they can see you, that's the point. You know, petting them where they can see you. Once they trust you, you're probably okay. But don't pat them on top of the head anymore.
There is no kind of petting that my dog doesn't like.
From strangers as well?
That didn't sound right.
Yeah, I was leaving it clean so they could send it to Nick.
Let's ponder that for a minute.
You heard it here first, folks. Dave Ennett's dog likes heavy petting.
He's like heavy petting. That's fantastic. That's really funny. All right.
All right. You'll enjoy this one sent to us from Streamwood Steve. This is on the Patty V Show.
The one movie that I think is overrated, it's fine.
but it's not. It, here in Chicago, everybody thinks it's the greatest movie ever, is Ferris Bueller's. I think it's fine. I don't think it's unbelievably good.
Well, that's Michael Lieber from the Lieber Law Group who hates Ferris Bueller.
He didn't say he hated it. He just thinks it's overrated. And Nick D absolutely hates that.
Yep. Second worst movie ever made.
What was the first one again?
Natural Born Killers.
Really? Not Ishtar?
I like Ishtar. Ishtar's a good movie.
What the hell is wrong with
Ishtar? Ishtar is a good movie.
Oh, my God.
No, man. Ishtar's a good movie. Elaine May, great filmmaker, great writer. You know why that movie caught hell?
Why?
Because it took her so long to make, and they were on location, and she blew the budget. That's a funny movie. The songs are hilarious, and they're both really funny in that movie. I'd back Ishtar big time. But yeah, sure Ferris Bueller's Day Off is, you know, is horrible, and Ferris Bueller is one of the most despicable characters in the history of film. So, yeah, I hate it.
Classic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a classic. I'm not denying.
Well, no, the opinion is classic.
Oh.
Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, finally, Margaret in Bridgeport sent in Dave Ennett mentioning you.
Dave's birthday was yesterday.
I saw that. Happy birthday, Dave.
Thank you, Lou.
I saw a lovely picture of Dave. We should all look so good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Thank you. He just got my carefully purchased gift, which was...
Did you got a Walgreens?
Are you kidding? I wouldn't take Dave that lightly. it's a couple of shot glasses that are set in a game that's called what?
Drinking with Lincoln. Which makes me think of the thing with Nick on Thursdays where I want to know what Nick is thinking.
Yeah, how about that?
Right. I love free association.
I was a little scared that he was going to go to the fact that I used to drink a lot. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, you know, I have like issues with alcohol. I thought he was going to go that route. I was like, Dave, you're going to get a little dark here.
Nah. 6 a.m., no way.
No way. But that's funny. I want to know what Nick is thinking. Yeah. That's good. That's my theme song, by the way, when I'm on with the Cochran gang, which I love doing. I love appearing on the show on Thursday morning. We weren't on yesterday because obviously they were covering what was going on in Normandy.
Of course.
But yeah. Dave's great, man. He's the best. Drinking with Lincoln. So is it shot glasses with Lincoln, with Abraham Lincoln on them?
You know, that's a very good question.
Oh.
That's a very good question. I do not know.
These are important questions.
The big questions.
These are the big questions that we need to know. So, all right. Hey, speaking of Dave.
Yeah.
You know, go Cats. I was listening to the Cub game the other night.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat Fitzgerald was in the booth with Zach and Ron.
Right.
Because he was doing the seventh inning stretch. That guy's hilarious. Now, I've heard him on the show many times, and you know, and I know it. But I had no idea he was so hysterical. Like, I mean, he was killing it. And he used to play baseball and had, like, insane insight. Not only does he know football, but he knows baseball.
Yeah.
He's hilarious, that guy.
Yeah, I think I did a remote where I got to say hi to him.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
No, and I've heard him on Steve's show and all the time.
Great.
And you know, but he's really great. But, man, he was killing
mm-hmm.
at the Cup game the other night. Man. So
he does a solid 15 minutes.
Absolutely. Yeah. He could do 20 at Zany's right now. So there's Dave. Hi, Dave. Oh, there it is. Come on in, Dave.
Oh, he's got the Drinking with Lincoln?
He's got the Drinking with Lincoln. Let's see what that is. Morning, Dave. How are you? Take that mic. What is Drinking with Lincoln? Oh, it is Lincoln.
It is Lincoln.
It is Abraham Lincoln.
Party with your favorite president. Five classic drinking games get a presidential twist. Beat the odds and pass the laws at the Battle of Gettysburg. Bet drinks on the secret legislation.
Yeah.
Test your honesty with Lincoln's top hat and more in games of endurance, luck, and liberal libation.
Yeah. Well, because we know what a heavy drinker you are, Dave.
Yeah, right. Cochran manages to propagate the myth, but anyway. Yeah,
that's great. That's pretty funny.
Hey, it retails for $18.95.
Look at that.
Not
boy, he
cheap.
Spent a lot of money on you.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I was just talking about Fitz in the booth with the guys. He was hilarious.
Yeah.
He's so funny. Do you laugh it up with that guy all the time?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's got that kind of personality.
And, yeah.
You know, I think that's a big reason he's been so successful.
Yeah. And he's a good guy in general.
He is a good guy.
Very cool. That's a great gift. You should send Cochran a thank you note.
I will.
All right.
And it did make me think of...
you know, I want to know what Nick is thinking.
Cool. I thought you were going to go the dark route there for a second.
No, I was not. I would not do that.
All right, Dave. Thanks,
right,
buddy.
See you, Nick.
Have a good day. There's Dave. You'll hear him on the Steve Cochran Show all morning long. Well, let's hit the intro first, and then
I grew up there on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill, and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Yeah, that's right, man. Fly Jams Friday has commenced. And do we have DJ Luscious Hushus ready to go?
Oh, yeah, Luscious Hushus, baby.
There we go. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Fly Jams Friday. Get your requests in, and we'll play them right now. Things are going to get funky after the break. 312-981-7200. Fly Jams Friday. That is a fly jam. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Coming up after 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich has the opening bell. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Who requested the Tom Top Club?
That was Steve. Want to hear Genius of Love.
That's a great song.
Fantastic.
Great song.
Great offshoot at Talking Heads.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So it's Fly Jams Friday, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You got some requests?
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Next one's coming to us from Mike in Louisville. This one's called Boogie Oogie Oogie. If it plays.
We're going to boogie, oogie, oogie. Like you just can't boogie no more. Oh, that's a classic.
It's a different time, the 70s.
Classic. Absolutely. Fly jam right there. All right. 312-981-7200, Luscious Hushus. Oh, by the way, Viggity Viggity Vic and the Verified Double V running around like a lunatic in the newsroom, and I'm Wiki Wiki Nikki for our weekly fly meeting. All right. What's next?
All right, next up we've got Dino. He wanted to hear Con Funk Shun, Got to Be Enough. And as always, Dino knows the flyest of jams, so let's take a listen.
Yeah.
That's about as funky as it gets.
That's funky, man. That's real funky. Very, very funky. I was just looking up at the TV here. Of course, we have the Chicago's very own WGN Channel 9 Morning News, and they were just doing, like, celebrity buzz. Bradley Cooper and his girlfriend are splitting after 4 years. If he ends up with Lady Gaga...
I'm going to win, like, $500. I seriously made a bet. I made a bet. I'm going to win,
really?
Like, I'm going to win, like, $500. I'm not kidding. Everybody saw the Oscars. I saw what happened there.
Yeah.
Kidding me?
Crazy. All right. What about some more fly?
Oh, some more fly. Well, here, you got to play the Rubber Band, man. You know, it's one of the flyest jams of all time. And that is coming to us from, let's see here. Oh, no, I lost the name.
Uh-oh.
But they requested the Rubber Band Man. If you're out there, you know this is for you. So here's a Rubber Band Man. Once I went to hear them play at a club outside of town. I was so surprised, I was hypnotized by the sound this cat put down. When I saw this short fat guy stretch a band between his toes. Hey, I laughed so hard cause the band got down when it finally reached his nose. Found that that's for Dave and Monroe.
Dave and Monroe.
There you are, Dave. I got you.
Well, you know, that's inspired by a true story. The Spinners actually went to see an act with a guy that was dancing with a giant rubber band.
Nice.
He had a big giant rubber band. So they called him the Rubber Band Man, and they wrote that song.
Not bad. Based on that.
So, all right.
All right, next up, of course, Celebration, Cool and the Gang, coming to us from Sam, a longtime listener.
Feel like I'm at a wedding. Cool and the Gang. Cool and the Gang. Hey, here's a shocker. Dean did not like Dark Phoenix.
I don't think anybody with a brain is going to like Dark Phoenix. And I haven't even seen it yet.
I got to see it, though, man.
I know. I have to, too. I've been watching those movies for like 20 years.
Yeah, well, it's also because McAvoy's in it. And, you know, he's my man. And he and Fassbender together are just magnificent.
They do a good job. They do a very good
job. I mean, just in real life, too.
Yeah.
Like watching those two guys on any talk show. They were all on Kimmel. The entire cast was on Kimmel the other day. And those two guys just ran with it. So
that's what they do.
All right, last one.
Last one coming to us from a very special lady.
Yeah.
Mrs. DiGilio.
Oh, my mom.
She wanted to hear the Manhattans kiss and say goodbye. So this one goes out
there
to you.
There we go.
I want to remember you just like this. Let's just kiss and say goodbye.
I had to meet you here today. There's just so many things to say. Please don't stop me till I'm through. This is something I hate to do.
Great song. Great choice, Ma. All right. Very cool. All right. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday morning. Steve Procopi and Eric Childress and I will review all of the new movies. And my dad will call in and tell a joke.